We are New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77.
WABC. We get to leave 11 gallows on your sleeve. Shallow figured, winners paid. 11 shadows way out of place. Standing too soon, shoulders high and low. Standing too soon, shoulders high.
R.E.M. for you at 6:31 on this very happy St. Patrick's Day here on Talk Radio 77 WABC. Welcome back. Bernie and Sid in the morning show. Sans Bernard, he is still on vacation, and he'll be back Monday. We've had two great shows. We've got three more to come. Today is really going to be a special show. You know, I say I really enjoy when the WABC powers that be, John, Margot, Chad, Dave, all of them, when they decide to do these celebration days. We've done a lot of them. I've enjoyed everyone, whether it was the cops standing outside and tying ribbons on trees outside. That was a great day. Celebrated women, celebrated African-American culture. We've done all these things. I can't even remember, to be honest, how many we've had. I am looking forward to the Israeli Day Parade because I have to think, well, it's going to happen because I'm going to make it happen. We have to celebrate Jews at some point, and I'm here. That's a big Jew right there. But today we celebrate St. Patrick. I was reading something this morning in Wikipedia, actually. I went back and wanted to see the origins of St. Patrick's Day because all I know about St. Patrick's Day, growing up in Brooklyn, spending time here in New York City, is it's basically a license. Up until the last 2 years, there's no parade. It'll be back next year. It's basically a license for people to get hammered. That's it. And I know it's got to be more than that. I'm not an idiot. I know there's got to be some real significance behind St. Patrick's Day. So I went to Wikipedia and I looked it up. And it was a guy named St. Patrick. Shocking. Hey, how about that? But then when you move down the historical lesson of St. Patrick's Day, there is a part of the Wikipedia that reads, criticism. And this is where Bill Donahue, the president, the head of the Catholic League, is going to be great this morning, coming up at 7:40. So the criticism is that the modern-day Irish have turned what was once a very religious and sacred day, and they celebrate St. Patrick's Day, we do, all over the world. Not just Dublin, New York, and Boston. It's everywhere. In Moscow today, they're celebrating St. Patrick's Day. But the criticism goes on to read that the modern-day Irish have turned this into a drunken spectacle. That was the exact verbiage in Wikipedia. Vomiting in the streets. Basically, what you get every weekend at the French Quarter on Bourbon Street in New Orleans. That is what St. Patrick's Day has turned into. And I was offended. I'm not even Irish. But I was offended. Even though, to be completely honest, that's all I know about this holiday. That's it.
Agreed. Same. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. And quite honestly, I'm going to be so drunk later that I'm not going to care.
You're not even Irish.
Yes, I am.
Are you full Irish?
No, I'm half Irish, half Italian.
Yeah, everybody's half Irish today. Yeah, stop. Yeah, I used to go to these bars on Flappish Avenue in Brooklyn. And I'm as Jewish as they come. You can't fool anybody with Sidney Rosenberg. Not with my nose and how I'm endowed. I ain't fooling anybody. But I would go to these bars on Flappish Avenue by King's Plaza. That's where I grew up. And they had these very popular Irish bars when I was growing up. One was in Sheepshead Bay. It was called Captain Walters. And that's where all the cool people went on Thursday night. But Flappish Avenue was really the, you know, the hardcore Irish. The Marine Park. They're still there, by the way. Cops. Firemen. I love that neighborhood. Love it in Brooklyn. So you had these three bars. One was named the Cuckoo's Nest.
I love the Cuckoo's Nest. One was Gallagher's, and one was, I believe, the Night Owl. But the Cuckoo's Nest was the most popular. And I would go on St. Patrick's Day, and I would eat the, what is it, cabbage and beef, which, by the way, gave me terrible gas.
Corned beef, cabbage, and what, what's the other thing?
Mix that with a shot of Jägermeister at 3 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't get out of the bathroom.
What's the hell? Cabbage. Corned beef cabbage.
Right. It's a corned beef cabbage.
Yeah. Cabbage. That's
and hash or something. I don't know.
I don't know. It's all good. Like I said,
it's
fine. We're
usually
too drunk. Yeah, you can give us anything at that point when you're that drunk. So.
Right. So I would stay at these bars till like 4 o'clock in the morning. And inevitably, every year, I would find some whacked out Irish Brooklyn girl. And that's how I would celebrate St. Patrick's Day. She wouldn't know by the time we got back if I was Sid Rosenberg or St. Patrick himself. So this is a very special holiday to me.
To all of us here.
Yes.
What other holiday can you say that everyone's got a little bit of Irish in them today?
Yes.
You know?
Exactly right.
Can't say that for many other
holidays. No, you can't. Certainly not Yom Kippur. I don't see people getting hammered and running out in the streets. And
or Cinco de Mayo or anything like
no,
that.
No, Cinco de Mayo.
There's
a little bit of Mexican everybody that day.
Yeah.
Even former President Trump enjoys a nice fajita.
Yes, he
whatever
does.
He was eating that day.
That Taco Bowl.
Taco Bowl, yeah. So we have this amazing guest list today. Cardinal Dolan. I swear to God, Cardinal Dolan, Ray Kelly, Dermot Shea, Terrence Monaghan. We've got a guy coming on. Not only do we have Congressman Peter King.
Hold on.
What?
Why is that paper so big that you're holding?
It's the New York Post.
That is huge.
They printed it out. It's like
it looks like you're holding,
like the New York Times.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, it's huge.
Hilarious.
We have Peter King, the great congressman. He's going to co-host with me for about an hour and a half today. And he's got this guy, very, very, very big guest, PM, the Prime Minister, Bertie Ahern.
Ahern, that's right. And as I was telling you briefly before in the newsroom, he is responsible for the Good Friday agreement between Northern Ireland and the British.
That's huge. NBC Sports personality Tommy Smith, for some reason, finds a way to include the word jizz in all of his very odd. And we have bands here today, too. We got music.
Yeah, it's going to be a good
time. It's going to be a great show.
Great time.
So stay with us. That's it for me, folks. This is how I do St. Patrick's Day. Flappish Avenue, Marine Park in Brooklyn. Beer, Irish girls, and you too. That's my St. Patrick's Day. Anyway, we've got like five really big-time guests stopping by today. Once again, including the former great congressman, Peter King. He'll serve for 90 minutes as my co-host today. But our first guest does a tremendous job every morning alongside Frank Morano. From 5 to 6:30 a.m., I'm thrilled to be on the show with her. She's Irish. She's celebrating today. It's our good friend Juliet Huddy. Good morning, Juliet.
Hello, my dear. How are you?
I'm well on this day.
I'm actually, yes, I'm 21% Irish, according to my ancestry.com. I'm mostly Lithuanian, but I'm 21% Irish.
How much, how much Lithuanian are you?
34%.
34%.
And then I'm English and Polish and German and Swedish and Scottish.
Now, how do you find this out again?
I went on Ancestry.com and I also went on 23andMe.
Now, my wife has in the past implored me to do that stuff. I'm just not that interested. Why'd you do that? I'm curious.
I wanted to see what my background was. I mean, I had always thought that I was Lithuanian Polish based on my mom's side and German Irish based on my dad's side. But I figured, we don't really know a lot about my dad's parents and grandparents. And, we need to know a little bit more about my mom's side of the family. So I just wanted to, I just wanted to sort of see where everything was from. You know that I travel all the time to Europe and I'm just fascinated by history and beginnings. And so that's pretty much, that was the impetus for me.
Well, tell me
this. I love it. It's fascinating. No, you've got to do it.
I will do it at some point. So you are about one-fifth Irish, which to me is licensed enough to go crazy today. So what does Juliet Huddy's St. Patrick's Day docket look like?
Well, the docket would have gone crazy about 20 years ago, but since I'm 51 years old, and I have to work, you know, I have to get up at 2:30 in the morning tomorrow. It's actually my best friend's birthday today, ironically. She's all Italian though. So I'm meeting her in the city and I'm taking her out to lunch and I'm sure we're going to have a couple cocktails, but that is the extent of my big day out.
Well, but will you take her to, I'm sure the lunch will be a posh, nice place, but will you find some bar, some Irish bar that may be open to
50%
capacity? Oh, no, not going to happen.
No, no way. No. I mean, please. I mean, even if it wasn't COVID time, that's the last thing. The last thing I want to do is go to bars anymore. It's like I'm the chaperone there. It's horrifying. I look around. I used to feel, even in my 30s and even early 40s, I remember feeling like, yeah, I mean, I look their age. Now it's just like, oh, my God, these are children. These are children. I look like a pervert.
I know. You know, you're right. No, you're right. It is an uncomfortable feeling. There's no doubt. But
it's horrible.
So but you have to do it every now and then just to revel in what everybody else is doing. You can't. I mean, I know what you're saying. Believe me, I feel that same uncomfortability. But every now and then I have to do it just to say I'm not that old. Or else I'm going to feel like I'm really over the hill.
You know what my thing is? Honestly, Sid, my thing is going to concerts. That is how I get my youthfulness out, because I will be the girl that's shrieking and screaming and potentially crying. And it's actually funny because it was like, I want to say it was 2012. It was March, April, May of 2012. I actually was invited to go see this Irish performer, an amazing singer, Glenn Hansard, who starred in the movie Once. And he was in this Irish band called The Frames. He was playing at this little place downtown called Le Poussin Rouge. And I was invited by Glenn's manager. And he said, you got to show up. There's going to be a surprise. And I'm like, all right. So I'm sitting there. We're watching his show. There's maybe 25 people. I mean, it was tiny. It was a tiny little place. All of a sudden, he starts to play something. He goes, I want to just welcome, and freaking Bono walks in. Bono walks in.
No,
oh yeah, it's on YouTube. I swear to God, I'm going to post it on my Twitter.
Oh my God.
And you just hear the audience is like silent for a second because we were all just stunned.
Yeah.
I mean, Bono is my absolute, like, bar none favorite.
Mine too.
Oh.
I just played YouTube. I've seen them in concert between Miami, New York, probably 20 times.
Same here. And I mean, it's just every concert is better than the next one. But this was just so insane. And it was so crazy because they played the old triangle, you know, the Irish song, the old triangle.
Yes.
And they finished and Bono just gets off and walks off the stage and walks right by. I wanted to just be like, I love you, Bono. But, you know, I held myself back. But God, that was a cool thing.
Now, was there a time when a younger and a less responsible and wilder Juliette Huddy would go to the St. Patrick's Day parade?
I've never been to the no, because I don't like to. I'm not a parade person. I, you know, it's like, yay, floats, yay. I would rather be, honestly, the last time that I went to the parade, quote unquote, it was when I was working for Fox News, and we went to a place on, I want to say, 48th Street that had the windows open so you could sit at the window and just look at, you know, and that was the extent of my, you know, being immersed in the parade. And we just drank like fishes there.
Oh, so have you ever gone to any parades in New York City when the Mets won the World Series or the Yankees won the World Series? Or
no, I have not. Nope,
all right.
I have not.
All right, so.
But I love you, Sid.
I love you, too. Enjoy your St. Patrick's Day. You do a tremendous job in the morning. I have a lot of fun with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, bud.
All right, that's Juliette Huddy. Check her out every morning here on WABC from 5 to 6:30.
I've been searching a long time. Someone exactly like you. I've been traveling all around the world, waiting for you to come through. Someone like you make it all worthwhile. Someone like you keep me satisfied. Someone exactly like you.
Van Morrison. He's Irish, as we celebrate St. Patrick's Day today on Bernie and Sid sans Bernard. Peter King will be here today, Bill Donahue, Tommy Smith, And what are you shaking your head about, John O'Halloran? What is it? I know you're Irish. You have an O in your last name, blah, blah, blah.
Just because the guy's Irish, this isn't an Irish song.
Why do I care? I'm not going to play Danny Boy for 4 hours.
Well, why not?
I don't like it that much. It doesn't pump me up. See, I don't play music for the audience. I don't do anything for the audience. I do it all for me. And if I'm happy and the better I am, the more they're going to enjoy the show. So I can play all this real Irish stuff, Drop Dead Murphys, whatever you call them, and all that.
Dropkick Murphys.
Who cares? I'd rather play the commercial stuff from Irish singers, which all of my listeners will know who that is, not just the Irish people, like you.
But there's some mainstream Irish
songs. Yeah, give me one.
Riding Up to Boston. Everybody knows that.
No one knows that. I never even heard of it myself.
Shipping Up to Boston.
You don't even know the name of it yourself. That's the second title in 2 seconds. Who sings it? No, don't even.
If you heard it, you'd recognize it.
No, thank you. No, thanks. No. When you host a morning show in 2 years, when I move back to Miami, you can play all the Irish music you want. How does that sound?
Okay, that works.
No, it's not going to work. I'm never leaving here. Never. I'm going to die in this studio. In like 2050, they're going to drag me out of here. Dead. I'm never leaving John Catsimatidis, and I'm never leaving WABC. And he's never going to ask me to leave. So what is your deal? You're Irish?
I am, yeah.
Were you born in Ireland?
I was not. I was born here. My dad was born there, came to the United States when he was 17.
Now, your cousin, who produced my show in Miami for 5 years, Steve Zemack, who I love to this day very dearly, that's how I know you, he claims he's got dual citizenship, even though he's never lived in Ireland.
Correct, yeah. So if you have a parent or direct relative born in Ireland, you can apply for Irish citizenship, even if you've never been there.
So his mother is from, is it Kerry?
Yes, County Kerry, a village called Ballyheigh is where the whole
It's on the water, right?
Yeah, right on the water, right across from the ocean.
That sounds beautiful.
It is. They had a farm there.
Who had a farm?
My grandparents.
No kidding.
Yeah, and they all worked on the farm, and then one by one they shipped off to whether it be Australia, the United States, New York, Florida.
Look at you. You're like the real Bono.
Yeah.
You're the real one. You go to McSorley's?
No.
You know, I went to McSorley's years ago after the Joseph Aboud tennis tournament, and I went with Lou Ruffino, who used to run the board for IMUS, and this girl, Kara Dugan, who used to be IMUS's secretary. She was beautiful, beautiful. And Eddie Scazzeri and a whole, it was like 10 of us. And we went to McSorley's, and they do this thing where they pile the beer. They make it like a big pyramid. And you drink it. Meanie's shaking his head. I guess he's done it. And I saw Lou Ruffino drink this whole pyramid in like 30 seconds.
Doesn't surprise me, and he's about 5'4".
Right. He was an animal.
True Irishman.
Yeah, and they had these sandwiches with the mustard. And is it still in business?
I don't know, but he's not even Irish.
I know. But we used to call all these bars on St. Patrick's Day, live on the radio. That's the old radio shtick. It still works to this day, but nobody's open. And that was one of the bars we used to love, McSorley's. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Got an amazing show coming your way. St. Patrick's Day on WABC. Want to congratulate our Grand Marshal today, the great former Congressman Peter King, who will sit next to me for 90 minutes this morning from 8 to 9:30. We have some really esteemed guests stopping by. Prime Minister, and this was set up by Peter King, Prime Minister Bertie Ahern will be here at 9:05. We'll also talk to Tommy Smith the great sports voice from NBC, the head of the Catholic League. This is tradition. He's on every year with me and Bernie on this day. And that, of course, is Bill Donahue. Also, hey, Doug, good morning. Sean Craseman from Newsmax. He'll be here today. So we got a great show on this St. Patrick's Day. And again, congratulations to the great Peter King. Let's get to some of the meat of the day, and we'll start with Biden. I think we're all waiting for Joe Biden to come out and be tough on Andrew Cuomo. I don't know why. I don't know why we are. First of all, they're on the same team. I mean, second of all, Joe Biden, if we're going to be really honest here, have an honest conversation, Joe Biden is equally, if not more, creepy than Andrew Cuomo. How many videos have we seen of Joe Biden snipping young girls' hair, touching them on the back, rubbing up on their buttocks?
I want to see these beautiful young ladies. I want to see them dancing when they're 4 years older, too.
See what I'm saying? 4 years older, too. So who the hell is how can Joe Biden, in all seriousness, come out and rip Andrew Cuomo? How hypocritical would that be? That would be like O.J. Simpson holding Robert Blake accountable for murdering his wife. Well, that is a great reference. Thank you. But on a serious note, Biden's not going to go. He's not going to do it. Now, look, we understand that Biden is being dragged more and more to the left. The AOCs, the Bernie Sanders, the progressives want him to move more to the left.
I'm the boss.
And as Bill O'Reilly says often, great job, Matt, he is Cuomo is not really progressive enough. So the powers that be want to get rid of Cuomo. That's the bottom line. What you're seeing here, and Cuomo has said this, he's not 100% wrong. What you're seeing here is partly a guy that has done some horrible things. Horrible. And I'm talking about the death of 15,000 people. But on top of that, you're also seeing, I think, an orchestrated effort by the left to get rid of him and put in somebody like a Letitia James or somebody like that. So we keep waiting for Biden to shock the world and come out and be hard on Andrew Cuomo. Well, this is about as tough as Biden is going to be. And let me tell you something. This ain't tough. This is like, well, if you find out he killed her, put him in prison. That's basically what Joe Biden did here yesterday talking about Andrew Cuomo.
If the investigation confirms the claims of the women, should he resign?
Yes, I think he'd probably end up being prosecuted, too. Here's my position. It's been my position since I wrote the Violence Against Women Act. A woman should be presumed to telling the truth and should not be scapegoated and become victimized by her coming forward, number one. But there should be an investigation to determine whether what she says is true. That's what's going on now.
And you've been very clear. If the investigation confirms the claims, he's gone.
That's what I think happens. And by the way, it may very well be. There could be a criminal prosecution that is attached to it. It takes a lot of courage for a woman to come forward. Some are not. Anyway, it takes a lot of courage. So the presumption is it should be taken seriously and it should be investigated.
Some are not. Oh, forget it. Well, the ones that I grabbed and touched and smelled, I did nothing wrong. Oh, God. The both of them. I watch Joe Biden on TV. I watch Andrew Cuomo on TV. I got to run to a shower. Now, we're talking about Andrew Cuomo, like Brian Kilmeade says. Andrew Cuomo resigning and Gavin Newsom, another despicable governor in the state of California, recalling, as it is now, they needed 1.5 million signatures to recall Governor Newsom, which may and will lead to his exit. They've got over 2 million signatures. So that guy is on his way out. And part of the reason why Gavin Newsom, despite his claims that if you don't like him, as Tucker Carlson talked about last night, it's racist, you must be a white supremacist, which is all crap. But part of the reason why he's become completely unlikable and has lost all credibility is that, like Cuomo, while Gavin Newsom was shutting down L.A. and California, shutting it down, he was caught more than once, out with multiple people breaking all the rules that he enforced. See, it didn't matter what Sid Rosenberg or Matt Meany wanted to do. You got to stay home. But I'm Gavin Newsom. I'll do whatever I want. And when he got caught, here was his response.
that dinner with multiple other households at that fancy restaurant, a birthday party for a lobbyist, no less, all while you were telling Californians that they should be staying at home. Now, I know, Governor, you have apologized for that dinner. You called it a mistake to go. But what I was wondering at the time, and I don't think you've answered, what on earth were you thinking?
Well, as a friend of over a quarter of a century, he's having his 50th birthday. Restaurants were open in the state. I wasn't suggesting people should not eat.
Oh, okay. All right. So not that bad. I mean, you can't hang out with your dad and your mom and your sister. But hey, he was celebrating a 50th birthday. Give me a break, like Joe Biden would say. Give me a break here. So that's the Gavin Newsom stuff. That's the Andrew Cuomo stuff. Now we go to the border. I was watching Tucker again last night. Sometimes I see reporters out on the field covering events, especially sports. So I'll see like a golf guy in Augusta on a beautiful day in April, and I'll get jealous. I'll see a golf guy in June at a gorgeous golf course in San Francisco. I'll get jealous. Tucker Carlson is doing his shows live this week from El Salvador. I didn't get jealous, but he did talk about the issue at the border, which has become a disaster, worse than a crisis, which the White House wouldn't even say. At least we've gotten to the point where the White House admits it's a problem. It's a problem. But they won't use words like crisis, disaster, which is exactly what it is. So they pressed Joe Biden yesterday on what's going on with these migrants who are now gathering by the thousands and thousands at the border. And Biden says, here's my recommendation to these folks. Don't come. Wait a second. When I was a kid and my parents would go to Florida, I would always call all my friends, all of them. I mean, 100. I get my friend Jerry Rocco. He was a DJ. I get my guy in the white Cadillac, Louie. He was a drug dealer. I get all my buddies, and I'd invite 100 of them to Quentin Road in Brooklyn. 100 of them. I'm not exaggerating. And then I'd get a call from my parents about an hour before, and they would go, Sydney, we better not hear, well, we're in Florida, we better not hear that your friends are coming to the house. And I'd be like, Mom, no, of course I wouldn't do that. And at that point, I would scramble to call all my buddies and say, don't come. Guess what? There are already 60 cars outside my house. A little too late. Right, Joe? Here's Joe Biden on the issue at the border.
The idea that Joe Biden said come, because I heard the other day that they're coming because they know I'm a nice guy and I won't do
what
Trump did.
They're saying this.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. They're not.
Do you have to say quite clearly, don't come?
Yes, I can say quite clearly, don't come.
Don't come. Well, it's a little too late for that. Now, the guy that did a great job in securing the border, who Nancy Pelosi somehow found a way to blame a couple days ago, which I still can't figure out, was the former president, President Trump. Remember, he built that wall. Remember that guy? Built the wall, had guys down there that would shoot you before you entered this country as an illegal. They'd shoot you. President Trump was on with Maria Bartiromo yesterday. This is courtesy of Fox Business. And here's what he had to say, the truth about the border.
They're coming in from all foreign countries. I see they're coming in now from Yemen. They're coming in from the Middle East. They're coming in from everywhere. They're dropping them off, and they're pouring into our country. It's a disgrace. They're going to destroy our country if they don't do something about it. It's going to get much worse. I mean, what you're seeing now is very bad, record numbers, but it's going to get much, much worse. With a little bit of time, you'll see those numbers expand at a level like you've never seen before. We also stopped human trafficking. When I say stopped it, made a tremendous dent like has never been made before, and also drug trafficking. So we did a lot of things, and all of that is now eroded.
So there's the big stories of the day. Andrew Cuomo, Gavin Newsom, and of course the crisis, worse than a crisis, the disaster at the border. And you heard from both last two presidents, the guy in office right now, Joe Biden, and of course the better of the two, President Donald Trump. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Again, my co-host Peter King set to stop by at about 8 o'clock. We'll talk to Bill Donahue coming up at 7:40. He's a great guest on St. Patrick's Day. Keep it right here and celebrate this wonderful holiday with all of us at Talk Radio 77 WABC.
I said it last year. We're not here just to take part. We're here to take over.
Dancing in your wooden shoes and wedding gown. Dancing out on 7th Street. Dancing through the underground. Dancing.
Along with Bono from U2 as we celebrate St. Patrick's Day like no one else here on ABC. We're going to start drinking soon, too. I haven't had a drink in a long time. I'm going to relapse today. I have to.
Well, Sidney, just so you know, I did put some Jameson in your coffee.
No wonder I feel a little pep in my step, Maddie. Hey, folks, the Greg Kelly Show is a big hit. If you haven't heard him yet, check him out 1 to 3 weekday afternoons here on ABC. Then it's Rita Cosby at 10. Check that out later on this afternoon. We also, as we celebrate St. Patrick's Day today with great guests, interviews, and music. And we celebrate our Grand Marshal today, Peter King, who co-hosts with me for 90 minutes starting at about 8 o'clock this morning. While you're out enjoying the special day, please go to WABCRadio.com and click on the St. Patrick's Day page to donate to the FBI Agents Association and the Memorial College Fund. The FBIAA provides over 30 students on average for 75% of tuition, housing, and a computer at a college of their choice. In total, over 9 million in scholarships have been provided to the children and spouses of agents who have died while active agents. Donations go directly to the families of those agents. So please help today, 7 a.m. We'll do this again in the 9 o'clock hour. Folks, check it out today at WABCRadio.com. Hey, another tradition here that Bernie and I usually do together. He's out on vacation this week. Bill Donahue, the president of the Catholic League, he'll join us in about 10 minutes. But there was a guy that worked with us forever, and it was a Cumulus. Of course, you've been purchased, thank God, by John Catsimatidis, because Cumulus couldn't care less about any one of us, to be honest. Sorry, Mary. So we have this this guy, and his name was Gene. He's alive. His name is Gene Maxwell. And he's a genius. He's the best. And this is no disrespect to Dan Herschel, who does an amazing job here. Much younger guy. But Gene's been around forever. He's the best engineer I've ever seen. And for many years, we were only on the air for Cumulus because of Gene. I really believe that. Day after day, there was some technical issue, and Gene would fix it. Every day. So Gene and his beautiful wife, Fran, every year they make this Irish soda bread, and they bring it to the station. Now, I figured this year it wasn't going to happen. Of course, we're at a new studio. We're out of Madison Square Garden. He doesn't work with us anymore. So I figured no more soda bread this year. And I was sad. Oh, Sydney. It's here. The soda bread is in the kitchen. Who dropped it off? Did Gene drop it off?
Gene gave me a ring this morning, and I said, oh, no, this guy's too good. He can't be calling me for saying he's dropping off Irish soda bread. And what do you know? He was went downstairs and two loaves of Irish soda bread, some Irish butter.
Oh, my God, it's so good. It's so good.
Yeah, I got to figure out, I don't know, is there a toaster oven back there?
No.
Okay, so, but, no. I mean, it's going to be great nonetheless. I have to get myself a piece after.
Well, I did not get McDonald's today. Because I'm on my fourth piece of the soda bread. And now O'Halloran has put the Irish butter on the soda bread. This is like an orgasm. It's unbelievable. So I do want to thank Gene and Fran Maxwell for once again making St. Paddy's Day special. One more quick note before Bill Donahue. Yesterday, Joe Tacopina was here. And then we did a whole segment. It was great on whether or not I should go to lunch with Tacopina. And we have that picture, which is a very unfortunate picture for Joe on Instagram because, well, let's just say he looked aroused while kissing me in the studio. But he did take me to lunch, I met him at the Cipriani's downtown, the one on West Broadway and Spring Street, which is probably the best of all the Cipriani's. There's a great one by Wall Street. There's one, of course, at the Grand Central Terminal. This is the best one, the oldest one, the first one, and the best one. And not only did Tacopina take me to lunch, but he paid. So there you have it. Thank you, Joe. He's on his way to Miami right now. He's got a huge case. He's actually staying at Jose Baez's house, the great Miami attorney Jose Baez. He's actually staying at Baez's house while he goes over this huge case. And, of course, Jose represented Aaron Hernandez. And who's that, the girl who killed her daughter?
Casey Anthony.
Yes, Casey Anthony. He had all of them. So Peter King is here. He's very excited. Looks like $1 million. His lovely wife is here. We're ready to celebrate St. Patrick's Day with the Grand Marshal. The Grand Marshal himself, the great Congressman Peter King. But first, we'll talk to Bill Donahue on this holiday coming up next.
Well, anyone can lose it all. And you don't heed your warnings call. Well, anyone can lose it all.
Who's this?
Well, anyone can make a mess.
Patty Casey.
Song. Who?
Patty Casey, St. Cincinnati.
I think I like it.
It's not terrible.
So well, it is St. Patrick's Day and a tradition on the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. On St. Patrick's Day, we usually have our next guest live in studio. Those are the old days when we were at Madison Square Garden because he's right there. But he's calling in this morning nevertheless because we love him. The head of the Catholic League, the very entertaining and brilliant Bill Donahue. Bill, it's just Sid. Bernie is off today. But happy St. Patrick's Day.
Well, happy St. Pat's to you and to Bernie, too, when he wakes up.
Well, he won't be here until Monday, so he's got a couple of days to sleep. I got to tell you, Bernie is Irish, obviously, and he knows the tradition more than me. But I did my homework, and I went back to Wikipedia and all these spots, Bill, to learn more about St. Patrick's Day. And Wikipedia does this long, long history of the holiday, how it's celebrated in every country, how what St. Patrick really meant to the people of Ireland. And then there's one part here, and it says, criticism. And this is perfect for you, Bill. It says, St. Patrick's Day celebrations have been criticized, particularly for their association with public drunkenness and disorderly conduct. Some argue that the festivities now have become what St. Patrick's Day is all about, and the religious significance is gone. When you hear that, what do you think?
Well, it may be true of some young people, and particularly some high school kids. There's no question about that. And of course, the Irish have no monopoly on people acting crazy on their day. You can go write down all the ethnic groups that they have. I think there's one around Labor Day where, you know, in Brooklyn, they kind of get a little nutty.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, but I do think people need to get back to the roots. I mean, we should celebrate St. Patrick. He was a slave. He was taken from Britain to Ireland, and then he escaped. He was around 15 when that happened. He came back home. The parents couldn't believe that he made it back. And then he felt called to go back to Ireland. Now, he bought the religion. He bought Christianity there. I mean, they had already had Christianity there, but he's the one who spread it. There's no question about it. And, you know, weren't for St. Patrick and the monks that followed him, the monasteries, they're the ones who kept all the great writings from the Greek and Roman era. So Greek and Roman literature, the era of antiquity, owes a lot to the Catholic Church and particularly to St. Patrick. And by the way, he's the first public person to condemn slavery. And I'm very proud that an Irish Catholic was the first public person to condemn slavery.
Wow. Me, myself, I went to St. Patrick's Cathedral a lot during the the Christmas holiday, New Year's. In fact, I was even there Ash Wednesday. I think I'm the first Jewish person ever to get ashes, I swear to God, at St. Patrick's Cathedral. And then when I left, I was wondering, did I just do something sacrilegious? Did I just do something disrespectful? And Bernie said, no. But I'm going to ask you. Jewish kid goes into St. Patrick's Cathedral, gets ashes on Ash Wednesday. Are you okay with that?
I never heard of anybody complaining about that. It's not like as if you're taking Holy Communion, which it could be a problem there. But when it comes to ashes, that's a different thing. That's a recognition that we need to atone for our sins.
Oh, and, that's perfect for me, Bill.
Well, yeah, that's why I'm on the front of the line every year. Yeah, usually I get rejected. They say, there comes that bum Donahue again.
There you go. Yom Kippur's not enough. I need to ask Wednesday with Bill Donahue, too. You know, I've never been to Ireland. I'd love to go. Bernie was in Dublin just 2 years ago. So I know how they celebrate St. Patrick's Day here. And there is more of that kind of rowdy, drinking, cops and firemen. You can rape and pillage, basically, because no one's working. But I have to imagine there it's a lot different. Or am I wrong?
No, it is somewhat different. A little crazy here with the Irish Americans. But don't forget, Ireland has become secularized. So most of them don't believe in anything anymore. They're just like the rest of the Europeans. So they're a bunch of phonies over there. I hate to say it, but including the leadership in Ireland, many of them become militant secularist and anti-Catholic, quite frankly. And I know my fellow Irishmen don't want me to say that, but I just did, and it's true.
Wow, Congressman Peter King, who I know you love. He is.
Oh, yeah, he's a great guy.
Great guy. Today, he's our grand marshal at the station today. He's going to sit in with me for 90 minutes, and he did raise an eyebrow there. So, but that's what I love about you. You don't care if you say stuff that may upset people because you're just telling the truth. I mean, that's what it is, right?
Well, that's exactly it, and I wish that the Europeans in general, not just the Irish, would come back to the faith. Right now, they're just swimming in secularism, and that doesn't do anybody any good. Look, the Catholic Church has had its problems, and it's always had its problems. It's been around for 2,000 years. What institution has ever lasted as long as the Catholic Church? And every institution has had its problems. So, look, there's a lot of great good that the Catholic Church has done in the past and continues to do. And remember, a lot of the apostles turned on Jesus, so we shouldn't be surprised that some of our own go wayward. The good news is this. St. Patrick is there for all of us. And if you are a believer, unless you believe that we stand for nothing, that life is a crapshoot, there's no reason for even being alive, which I can't even believe, that kind of nuttiness, you have to understand that there is something in the transcendental, and I do think that the Catholic Church has an awful lot to offer, even in these troubled times.
This is the brilliant voice of the head of the Catholic League, a St. Patrick's Day tradition, on the Bernie and Sid Show, Bill Donahue. You know, Bill, being Jewish, I recognize the anti-Semitism that I think now is raging like a San Diego wildfire. I see what happened in Georgia last night, 8 Asians murdered for no other reason than they're Asian. I see what's happening even to a certain extent with African-American people, even though sometimes that gets a bit exaggerated. But not a lot of talk about what's going on with Christianity and the disrespect that it gets continued to shown in this country. Even Joe Biden, who I believe is he Catholic, Joe Biden? All right.
Well, he calls himself a devout Catholic, and of course he carries his rosaries, which is symbolic. But if you take a look at what he's done, he is the most anti-Catholic president America has ever had. He's in favor of the Equality Act. He's nominating bigots to Health and Human Services in Javier Becerra. I don't care that he calls himself a Catholic. Look, Joe Biden is not Catholic friendly. Trump may not have been a devout person. That's between him and God, but he was religion friendly. He passed legislation. He promoted legislation and he passed executive orders, which were very much in favor of Catholics. No, Joe Biden is the enemy of the Catholic Church as far as I am concerned.
Wow. Do you feel like Christianity is under a constant attack every day in this country?
Well, that may be a bit of an exaggeration, but you know, quite frankly, we've had some success in getting the late night talk show people and others to stop denigrating, but the mockery. You know what I get a kick out of this, Sid? Disney comes out and says, we can't have the Muppets, we can't have Dumbo, we can't have Peter Pan, all these other people. Okay, meanwhile, Disney owned Miramax back in the 1990s. That was the Weinstein Company. Then they owned ABC. They did that in 1995. The number of movies under Disney Miramax that were anti-Catholic and the number of ABC TV shows, including the commentary on The View, the things that have been said about priests that you would never say about any other segment of the population, Disney has anti-Catholicism written all over its blood. And yet they don't say a word about that. They're worried about offending the East Asians and the Pacific Islanders. Well, why don't you just get right back home here and look at Catholics, who are about a quarter of the population, and look the way you've been treating us now for decades.
No, I agree. I actually think it's gross. I've never in my life, even when Bernie would make fun of me because I'm Jewish, I never went to the priest. Well, maybe I did once. But on a serious note, I think it's really gross when people do that. They define the church by some of those men that went astray, but it still happens.
And if we did that to every other group, what do we say about every other group? Is there one demographic group that doesn't have its dirty laundry? Yet we'd never generalize from the individual to the collective, do we?
So why do you think that's the case here? It's easy?
Well, it's easy. It's also because the Catholic Church, evangelical Protestants, Orthodox Jews, Mormons, and Muslims stand for traditional moral values. And we believe, as Catholics got their ideas on sexuality from Jews. It comes from Judaism. Marriage should be between a man and a woman. Now, to say that today is controversial. And since the Catholic Church is bigger than the other groups and it has it's hierarchical, we're a big, fat, easy target. But that doesn't justify the viciousness, the obscene attacks that have been visited on us by the Bill Maher's and the Dan Savages and in the movies, on TV, in the artistic community. And now we have the corporate boys at Disney still not apologizing for what they've done. It's rather sickening.
I got to ask you then, if we're talking about the gays and what's allowed in this country and who gets eviscerated and who doesn't, transgenders. It's unbelievable to me that there are people out there that will defend a boy walking on a tennis court. A boy. He's got all the parts that you and I have got, Bill, walking on the tennis court and playing my 16-year-old daughter, who was an anatomical female, in tennis. And there are people in this country, including this administration, which signed an executive order, that believes that's okay. Now, look, they can do whatever they want, transgenders. But the fact that we're supposed to treat them the way they want to be treated in situations like that, I can't believe it. What about you?
Well, you can't do that. I mean, there's no question about it. Look, you either have XY or XX chromosomes. You're either a male or female. You can't change that. That's what nature ordains. All right? Some guy who thinks that he become a girl, I got news for him. He can't menstruate. Okay? Get it through your head. Get the memo. A man can't become a woman and vice versa. And quite frankly, when it comes to transgender of minors, I think that's a form of child abuse.
So
and I think this country has to really deal with that seriously.
I totally agree. So you think next year at this time, after now a 2-year absence from what I believe is the greatest parade of all we do here in New York, next year at this time, we'll be going back to the parade?
I would expect so, but I'll never go back because of what they did. I didn't mind them bringing gays into the parade, but when they gave them their own contingent and they promised me, the leadership of the St. Patrick's Day Parade lied to me and said that we would allow pro-life groups to have their own banner. And I said, okay, then bring the gays in as long as the pro-life people can have their own banner. And then I was lied to. So I will never march the St. Patrick's Day Parade in New York City for the rest of my life.
I know you were pissed about that. And you're right. I mean, they have to recognize both groups. So they flat out lied to you.
Yes, they did.
Do they have any plans of fixing that in the future?
Oh, I don't think so. You got the corporate boys from NBC who are more interested in making the cash and sucking up to the secular elites. That's a real problem. I don't need the secular elites to be affirmed. Okay, I have my own friends, and I don't need to hang out with those people and say, well, you're welcome. You're an open-minded Catholic. An open-minded Catholic to these people is a Catholic who doesn't believe in what the Catholic Church teaches. That's how open-minded they are. The brains have fallen out.
Lastly, where does Bill Donahue go drinking today? Is Mustang Sally's open?
I know. I like my own pub in Long Island, but I'm afraid I may not be able to get in. Of course, the great genius in Albany, Mr. Cuomo, who'll be going to prison the day after tomorrow, he's not going to open up until 75% in New York State. Of course, it's 50% in New York on Friday, but it might be a little tough to get in, and you have to get a seat. And you know, they make you pay $2.17 at my bar. To eat something. I said, look, I'll just accept the Cuomo fine. Just add it to my bill.
Hey, listen, you're brilliant. You really, I love having you on. So does Bernard. I'm sure he sends his best. Enjoy this St. Patrick's Day. That was a great conversation. God bless you, and you stay well. Okay, buddy.
God bless you. You're the best. And say hello to Bernie for me.
I will. There he is, the head of the Catholic League. I find that guy to be as good as anybody on radio. Anybody. I don't care who it is. He is so good. Bill Donahue on this St. Patrick's Day. Still lots more to come, including our Grand Marshal today, my co-host, the great Congressman Peter King. Keep it right here.
Who is this? The Irish Rovers.
Oh, the Irish Rovers. It is 7:54 on your St. Patrick's Day. Juliet Huddy and Bill Donahue already here. Some great guests to come. But I'm really excited about this. My co-host for the next 90 minutes is my favorite New York politician ever. I mean that sincerely. He is the best, the better part of four decades out of Long Island, did a tremendous job. Also on a federal level, what he did between Homeland Security and folks that are still getting money today, because 9/11 was not a one-day event. That's still, people are still dying today. And Peter King, along with John Stewart, made sure that was the case. So here he is, the great Congressman Peter King. Good morning, Peter.
Say, great to be here. And I think people will realize soon that I'm a much nicer guy than Bernie. I'm a much different type of Irish guy than Bernie.
Yes, you are.
And
classier.
Unlike John Katzmatidis, I can't say I'm part Jewish, though. I'm...
You're not part Jewish?
Actually, Rabbi Potasnik said my father's family goes back centuries in Ireland, but originally the Spaniards had conquered this island.
Yeah.
So Rabbi Potasnik thinks I'm actually a Sephardic Jew.
Go with that.
That's his thing.
Why
so
not?
Go with it.
He's a great guy. Why not? Yeah. I mean, you know, you represented so many different people, including Jewish people, so you may as well feel like you're one of everybody. But on a serious note, you're the Grand Marshal today for the station, but you've actually been the Grand Marshal at the parade a couple of times.
Yeah, back in 1985, I was the Grand Marshal. And actually, it was somewhat controversial because I know that people kid around about St. Patrick's Day. But during those years, we used that as a way to focus people's attention on Northern Ireland. And
at that point, they were having issues.
Oh, there was fighting in Northern Ireland.
British.
IRA and,
right.
British, no. It was a war that was going on. There were people dying every day.
Right.
And we had Bloody Sunday and other things like that. And I actually ran for Grand Marshal. It used to just be sort of appointed, but I actually ran. There was a group that, and I was going to basically symbolize the Irish nationalists, saying that the U.S. and the Irish people in this country had to do more to get the British out of Ireland to bring about a peaceful solution. So that year, a lot of people boycotted the parade. And
wow.
I had security around me all the way up the avenue.
Okay.
And the British government put tremendous pressure on Cardinal O'Connor, who then was Archbishop O'Connor, to boycott the parade. To not shake hands with me on the steps of the cathedral. And so he agreed to, stand on the steps of the cathedral, greet me as I come up. But the night before, they had the Friendly Sons of St. Patrick dinner. And I see him, and he's there, and he was in a bad mood. I thought he was mad at me for something. And he goes, he's British. They called him up. Apparently, they had threatened that they were going to attack him in the British papers.
Oh, my God.
If he shook hands with me. So now he made – that's the worst thing you could have said to Cardinal O'Connor. He was out in the steps of the cathedral greeting me like I was the most powerful person in the world, you know?
Oh, that's a great story.
So that picture I sent you, that was like all over the world. It was
– Yes.
Yeah. And there was some kind of a line they used that while – Cardinal O'Connor denounces murder with one hand, he shakes his hand with the other.
Oh, my God.
So, anyway, make a long story short. After that, in fact, our guests later on this morning, Bertie Ahern, he became the Prime Minister of Ireland. Tony Blair became the Prime Minister of Britain. Bill Clinton, I give him credit for this. They decided to bring peace to Northern Ireland.
Now, you worked hand-in-hand with President Clinton on this, right?
Yeah, I went with him a number of times to Northern Ireland. I met with Prime Minister Blair. Bertie Ahern, the Prime Minister, was great. Also, Gerry Adams, who was able to talk the IRA into following a peaceful route, and other leaders. And in 1998, they signed the Good Friday Agreement, which actually, you can say for the first time in 800 years, brought a level of peace to Ireland. It's held now. 23 years later, it's still in place. Things aren't perfect, but the violence has stopped. The killings have stopped. And people always thought, oh, the IRA, well, it was also on the other side, there were paramilitaries.
Of course.
And the British Army and the police in Northern Ireland sided against the Catholics in Northern Ireland in the beginning. So it was a very complex situation. And basically American presidents didn't want to get involved because, in fact, nobody wanted to get involved. And Bill Clinton, Irish people at the time told me he understands the Irish more than the Irish do. He was great. And Tony Blair was phenomenal.
Yeah.
He was a British leader who realized the time had come. And then Gerry Adams, who brought the IRA into the peace table, told them they had to knock it off. And then Bertie Ahern, when you talk to him, he was really a great guy. He was prime minister for 11 years. And, you know, we have all the pomp and ceremony here. Like, if you're a councilman, you walk around with security and people look
at you. Yeah, big deal, right.
He was the prime minister of the country, and also the prime minister was also a member of their Congress, which is called
the
Doyle over there. He had a little district office besides the prime minister. So when I would go to meet him, you go to his district office in a working-class section of Dublin over a laundromat. He's the prime minister. Really, I was
really
guy. And when you went to out with him, we went to a pub in Ireland, and he had one security guy over in the corner. And he's at the bar Again, not a big drinker. We had a pipe. People have bumped into him. People have pushed him out of the way to go to the bathroom.
Well, he's going to join us coming up at 9:05. That's Peter King and Sid Rosenberg. We'll be back with hour number three on this St. Patrick's Day right after this. And I'm waiting. It's going to hit. I know. I don't know. I like my stuff better. Cranberries, U2, all the Irish pop artists and the real Irish songs. Pete Morgan checks in. He's Irish Peerless Boilers. And he says, I'm sure that Peter King shared pints of Guinness at Kennedy's Pub on Drumcondra Road with Bertie Ahern. Is that true?
I've had pints with Bertie Ahern in Drumcondra. And I think we were at Kennedy's. I know it was another place, the Golden Goose he went to. And, again, Bertie was a, if you walked in, you have no idea who the Prime Minister was. There's a guy there with an old jacket and a sweater. That was Bertie Ahern. And he
just a regular guy.
Regular guy. And people come up, talk to him. You know, nobody call him Mr. Prime Minister. Nobody would be. I go over here, like 20 Secret Service guys.
Right, right.
Would have attacked him by then.
Well,
no.
Deservedly so. You're a star.
And,
people love you.
So, but no, he was,
it's different there. Yeah, it's different.
It's totally different. And again, Bertie, having said that, he was a real statesman. He was a very smart guy. But again, he was negotiating with Tony Blair, Bill Clinton. He was at the highest level.
Yeah.
And he worked out an agreement that took 800 years before finally he was able to put it together.
And he will join us coming up at 9:05 this morning. That is the voice of the great Congressman Peter King. Honored to be sitting with Peter for these 90 minutes and Bernie Stead on this St. Patrick's Day holiday. Now, we did bring on Bill Donahue last hour. That's a Bernie and Sid tradition. We've got another tradition. This guy joins us, I think, now three consecutive years. And it's only because he said jizz once on TV, I swear to God. I had no idea who he was. Now I'm a huge fan. His name is Tommy Smith. He's a co-host of Grumpy Pundits, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sirius XM Channel 157. He was the 2008 Grand Marshal of the 247th St. Patrick's Day Parade. And when they have the parade, he's on NBC as one of their very colorful analysts. And here he is, back on the Bernie and Sid Show this morning with Sid and Peter, the great Tommy Smith. Good morning, Tommy.
Good morning, Sid. Good morning, Peter. It's 13 years ago today. I got up, I was shaving, and I said to my wife, where's my glasses? And she said, they're on your face. That's how excited I was to be Grand Marshal.
Well, this is going to be, that's funny, Tommy. This is going to be the second straight year because of the COVID with no parade. Is there a Zoom? Are you doing something for NBC today?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm in Ireland today, which I haven't been in Ireland since 1969. That was the last time because of my commitment to the parade. But with no parade this year, I decided, hey, I'd go back to the Emerald Isle to see what it is.
Tommy, where are you?
I'm in Dundalk. I'm just outside of Dundalk. I'm a little place called Knockbridge.
Yeah.
It's 4 miles from Dundalk. It's about 10 miles from Crossmaglen. Good part of the country, Peter.
Crossmaglen was a dangerous area for quite a while there. We are the men of Crossmaglen. A lot of fighting went on up there. That was and Dundalk is right near the border. Is Dundalk where they have the head of Oliver Plunkett, or is that, am I thinking of something else?
No, that's Strahada. That's about 20 miles south of there.
Right.
Well, it does seem cool that on this St. Patrick's Day you'd be back in Ireland, the birthplace, obviously. But you got to be missing the last 2 years, this magnificent parade. We all hope and think it'll be back next year, but you got to be missing this in a big way, no?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just such, you don't realize how lucky you are to be in New York for the St. Patrick's Day Parade. I have announced it on television for 29 years. I was looking to do my 30th last year, and I said, you know, and all of the other things as well, like Peter knows about all the dinner dances, all the functions that are leading up to the St. Patrick's Day Parade. You know, when they were happening, you were kind of saying at that time, oh, I have to go to another one. Now you were saying, I wish to God they were on so as I could go someplace. So it's a huge void in people's lives.
And Tommy, you did a great job as a color commentator. I didn't always see it live because I was at the parade, but we used to DVR the parade and listen to you, your voice. You really caught the right tone, I think, of both being Irish and Irish-American and, again, what it meant to be Irish-American in New York. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that when the parade first started, it was a time of tremendous persecution of the Irish. And that's why the parade every year was led by the Fighting 69th, because they actually protected the Irish churches from being burned down at that time.
Yeah, I think there's a great story, Peter, there. One of the times that they were threatened, the Know-Nothings were threatening to burn down St. Peter's, and the Monsignor at St. Peter's, you know, he said, I could call out the fight in 69, but he didn't want any bloodshed. So what he did was he went to the ancient other Hibernians and he said, look, I need some help. And they got 250 lads with hurling sticks. Now, you know what a hurling stick is. It's used for playing the national game of hurling. And he stood them around the cathedral. And I'll tell you one thing. There was nobody willing to step up to try to get by those lads with the hurling sticks. It's one of the greatest stories of protection ever without ever spilling a drop of blood.
Wow, Tommy Smith joining us live from Ireland on this St. Patrick's Day. Tommy has his own show on Sirius XM, noon to 3 every day, Grumpy Pundits. Does the parade for NBC every year. One of the great soccer voices, too, I must make mention. A great soccer analyst throughout the year. You know, Tommy, obviously, I just mentioned the fact that now 2 years running, no parade here. And we tend to think in New York, whatever happens here happens every place else except for Florida. So what is the COVID situation like in Ireland today? And will you folks be out there reveling in the streets?
No. Ireland is on close down. Ireland is shut. The pubs are closed. There's no parade. There's nothing happening. You're not allowed to go any further than 2.5 kilometres, which is about 3 miles from your own house. It's a dire situation here. They've had close to 5,000 deaths. They've had a quarter of a million cases of COVID. And for a small country like Ireland, that's a disaster. And they're really closing down on it. They're trying their very, very best to eradicate it. I mean, they're also given the vaccinations. But they got a little bit of a problem during the week because they were using that vaccination that has been pulled off on account of the blood clots. So it's a very quiet place. The only place you know it's St. Patrick's Day today is in your heart. If you're Irish, you're Irish, and you know it exactly what day it is. Right, Peter?
No, you're right, absolutely. But you mentioned the lockdown. My cousins in Limerick, they basically are living in their houses. It's, again, what's 2.5 kilometers? I can travel, about a mile from your
house?
That's it. Yeah, it's really tough. Yeah. Also, Tommy, again, this is one thing I always question about the Irish. You mentioned hurling, and I've had cousins who play that. That, to me, is the wildest, craziest sport. I mean, how anyone survives without getting killed in a game, I have no idea. I mean, and you go to Ireland when they have, like, the All-Ireland matches and all that. Everyone's out in the streets wearing the colors, and it's absolute insanity. And then these guys kill each other out on the pitch. That's crazy.
Well, it's the oldest field game in the world. And the thing about it, Peter, is the reason why people don't get killed all the time is because they're so skillful. They know how to play the game and they know how to avoid all the different situations in it. But it's amazing. This week they have what's called the Cheltenham Race Festival, which is a big race festival in England, where normally there would be 80,000 people there, 40,000 of them Irish, because Ireland is known for their jumpers and their hurlers. And, I mean, everything. That's the only thing that's on now. It's on television here. It starts now at 1 o'clock. The Irish had 5 winners yesterday to the English 2. So, I mean, they've gone to Ireland and they're taking away their biggest prizes in the racing world. It's on today, it's on tomorrow, and it's on Friday.
That's exciting stuff. So on the way out, Tommy, I'm going to ask you the same question I posed to the head of the Catholic League, Bill Donahue, on this show about 45 minutes ago. And that is that when you look up the history of St. Patrick's Day on the Internet, they eventually get to a clause in the Wikipedia which reads criticism. And the criticism is that here, at least in America, gone are the days when we really celebrate St. Patrick, when we really celebrate the Irish. Really, it's just a license for everybody, Irish or not, to get out and get drunk. Public drunkenness and get rowdy and get crazy. Bill Donahue said that's not true in America. What do you think about that statement?
Yeah, I don't think it's true either. I mean, you know, a few people can always make a lot of noise, and those are the people that are going to get the attention. I mean, for instance, in Ireland, everybody thinks that, oh, the Irish were drinking for St. Patrick's Day. Only up until a couple of years ago, the pubs did not open on St. Patrick's Day in Ireland. Wow. I hear it, say that again, folks. The pubs in Ireland did not open their doors on St. Patrick's Day in respect for St. Patrick's Day. That's changed now because economically with tourists and everything else, and that Dublin has a big festival and every little town now has their own Irish parade. But you know, if you throw a stone into an empty kettle or you throw a stone into an empty bucket and you run it around a bit, it'll make an awful lot of noise, but it's not generally reflective of what's happening around the rest of it.
God, it doesn't even matter what you say. The way you say it is just adorable.
Well, he's certainly not from Brooklyn like you said, that's for sure.
No, he's not. Hey, Tommy, thank you again for coming on this year. You really are great, and your show is great. And keep up the good work, and enjoy this big St. Patrick's Day back in the homeland of Ireland. Thank you so much.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, Tommy.
Thank you very much. And Peter, the last time I bumped into you, you were leaving midnight mass in St. Patrick's Cathedral on a Christmas Eve. I was coming in to go to the next one. You were just going out, and we had a few brief words at the door.
I remember that well.
Sid, thank you very much, Peter. Take care of yourself.
All right,
hey, lads, remember what I say. You can definitely test negative, but you've got to stay positive.
There you go.
Thank you, Tommy. Those are very wise words from a very wise man. Let's go to the Italian from Hoboken here. Mina, you got him ready to go? There we go. Folks, you can fly to Dublin. Wrap up your weekend with Ramzi Majda's Sunday with Sinatra. We've now expanded this show to 3 hours every Sunday night. It's now on from 6 to 9. Joe Piscopo plays the best Sinatra songs combined with great stories and insight of the chairman of the board. You're not going to find this anywhere else. Trust me. Ramzi Majda's Sunday with Sinatra featuring the very, very talented Joe Piscopo. 6 to 9 Sunday nights, only right here on Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Once I get you up there.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
And this Lydia Reports is sponsored by Benjamin Steakhouse. Benjamin Steakhouse, it has indoor as well as outdoor dining. They have two locations, one in Midtown Manhattan, the other in White Plains. That's my fave location. And you can also celebrate Easter, which is coming up very shortly, with their delicious prefix menu for only $80. Signature dishes like rack of lamb, us Albanians, we call it mishchinji, as salmon filet mignon. Check them out at BenjaminSteakhouse.com. Well, the crisis at the border, Sid, as you've been talking about, is getting out of control. CBS News has now confirmed that there are 13,000 unaccompanied minors being currently held in facilities at the border. You know, we heard last week it was about 4,200. Then the week before that, it was 3,200. Now CBS News says they have confirmed that they have about, the U.S. has about 13,000 unaccompanied minors currently in custody at the border. Biden, as you mentioned, he had the interview, sit down with George Stephanopoulos, which is like basically everybody's uncle. And I was really surprised by this response to Biden's solution as to what happens with the children, something about a phone number. Take a listen to this.
And most of them come with a phone number to that they have someone in the country. So what we're doing is we're putting together an entire organizational structure so that within 7 days they're able to get in the phone, contact that number, find out whether there is a mother or a father, whether it is safe, whether it is a secure circumstance to get the child to that adult.
Yeah, I was surprised too. I mean, that was but all of his answers yesterday. You know what? Not just yesterday. And Peter King is sitting here with us, Lydia. He could attest to this. Anytime he's asked, God bless him, anytime he's asked a question about any of these real issues, he never really has an answer that's gonna satiate any of us. Is that fair to say, Peter?
No, it is. And also, it makes you nervous because he hesitates. He seems like he gets that look on his face and he's trying to think what to say.
Right.
And so, like, you know, your uncle shows up and says, you know, for Thanksgiving, and you don't know what he's going to say or do next.
Right.
You know? And again, I've known Joe Biden for years. He's basically a nice guy, but on this one, he's really wrong on this issue. And he talks about just casually dropping off these unaccompanied minors in different communities. We had that on Long Island. We had a bunch of kids put in there, and a number of them were MS-13 recruiters, and that led to a lot of killings in my district. Lydia, good to talk to you.
Congressman, what goes through your mind when you're hearing now the number has surged to 13,000 unaccompanied minors? This is out of control.
Well, I don't hear anybody in the media talking about kids in cages or how terrible this is. I mean, what Joe Biden is doing to these kids is worse than anything they ever accused Donald Trump of doing. Well, actually, he was much more humane on this. There's nothing humane about inviting people, encouraging them to come to the country, and then basically putting them in a tent city or in there's no room for these kids. And under the court orders, you can't put them in a jail with their parents.
No.
And so they have to be separated, and they're going to be there. And basically, it's a terrible, terrible existence. So it's, again, and Joe Biden somehow acts as if he's being, you know, the St. Francis here. You know,
yeah,
he's being kindly to everybody. And all he's doing is bringing kids into a terrible, terrible situation.
Well, but he also talks out of both sides of his mouth, Peter and Lydia, because on one hand, he says, come. And then yesterday, he says, don't come. Don't come. It's too late. I used an example earlier where I used to have parties in Brooklyn. My mom and dad would go to Florida. And I would call all my friends, and then an hour before, my mom would say, Sydney, don't you dare, and it was too late. There were 60 cars in front of my house.
Right.
That's what Biden has done here. It's too late.
Exactly. And as he's saying, don't come, but he's also talking about these humane policies that you're going to have. So these families and these kids think, well, let's go now. You know, the worst is going to happen is we'll have to wait a while. But you know, they know if they make it across the border, especially if they're kids, what's he going to do? I mean, because they're basically inviting them in, even though he says don't come. It's a totally bipolar policy he has here.
I know. And then Stephanopoulos says, you know, people are coming because they say you're a nice guy. That's why they're coming. And then Biden goes, that's not true. And then actually Stephanopoulos gave it to him back very nicely, of course. He says, but it is. It is true. That's why they are coming, because they think you're going to let them in. I mean, they've got your T-shirts on and you just see the guy's look on his face. He looks so confused. Is it just me, or were you guys? I was feeling sorry for him during this interview. He was struggling.
No, you do. But also the fact of being a nice guy, that's why Sid should be the president, because no one would ever think he's a nice guy. They know that if he comes in, what happens. So.
You know, this wasn't a personality contest, and that's why ultimately I believe that Trump lost at the polls, because they didn't like the mean tweets. So we don't got a guy that sends out mean tweets. We don't got a guy that's nasty with reporters. But now we got higher gas prices, and we've got a crisis at the border, and God only knows what else is coming our way.
Well,
and again,
you have taxes that are going to be out of control. You've got boys playing sports with females.
We can lose our energy independence.
The Keystone Pipeline is maybe the worst thing he's done. So that's a great point, Peter.
I mean, economically, it's important here, but also what it does is it empowers the countries like Iran and others, you know, the oil countries. It's
right.
Really,
right. And another bad deal with Iran coming up, too. So, listen, I know it's St. Patrick's Day, and I know it's usually corned beef and cabbage, Lydia, but how about a steak for you and I today?
Well, you know what? Now I'm going to have the congressman take us out, because he looks like he's a steak and potatoes kind of guy.
Well,
he can foot the bill.
Guy, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, you are, right? See, he's like me. I love being with the congressman, and we have such a great time. The grand marshal of our St. Patrick's Day celebration. You know what I was thinking about too? So they had this small St. Patrick's Day celebration in the city today, like very small, tiny parade. But maybe in New York City, we're going to have the largest, of course, COVID safe. We're going to follow all the protocols. A celebration right there at WABC Radio. I think we're going to have the best party in town.
I never thought I'd be celebrating St. Patrick's Day with a Greek guy, an Albanian woman, and Sid Rosenberg. this is some way to only in America.
That is true.
Only in America.
That's funny. That's a great.
And this Lydia Reports is sponsored by Benjamin Steakhouse. Benjamin Steakhouse with indoor as well as outdoor dining. They have two locations, one in Manhattan, Benjamin Prime, the other in White Plains. It's a great location, indoor, outdoor, cozy fireplace, the whole nine. You can also check out their Easter delicious prefix menu for only $80. Guys, that is definitely a bargain. And you could check it out. Rack of lamb, salmon, filet mignon, porterhouse. You can't go wrong with anything on their menu. Check them out at BenjaminSteakhouse.com. And, you know, the congressman will take us out. But Sid, he's got the big contract, congressman. He said he's going to pick up the tab.
That's fine. I can do that. Hey, listen, you were great today, as always, Lydia. We'll be tuning in at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Lydia, Sarai, and I, great every weekday afternoon at 4. Sits alongside John Catsimatidis at 5. You can follow Lydia on Instagram at LydiaNews1 and on Twitter at LydiaNews. You know, I have all this clothing, as you know, Peter, from Joseph Abboud.
Right.
So whenever I see you and your beautiful wife, Rosemary, I'm always dressed to the T, always. In fact, I think I was given unofficially the best dressed award at John Catsimatidis' birthday party in the Hamptons this summer.
I remember that.
You remember that? I think Ray Kelly actually gave me that award. Meantime, I get up this morning. I've got all these suits, all these shirts, all these jackets. I can't find green.
You know?
Not one green piece of clothing.
Wow.
Is that a terrible thing?
It really is. I'm a little offended. I'm thinking of leaving. I mean, I think you should be canceled.
You think so?
Cancel shit,
I should be canceled.
Cancel culture, yeah.
Look, your wife is wearing a beautiful green coat. She's got green accessories. You've got a green sesh. What is the whole green behind the holiday?
Basically, Ireland is the Emerald Isle. It's when you fly into Ireland, it's green everywhere. They do have incredible grass and foliage everywhere. Yeah.
Like North Carolina, like Tennessee.
Exactly. And that's the reason why they say Irish resources are so good. There's something in the grass over there, really.
Wow.
No, it's green. And then, of course, the shamrock is green. That was St. Patrick brought that.
Right.
And, by the way, you mentioned John Cassavetes' party last year. My main memory of that is driving all the way home and saying, how did Sid end up with such a beautiful wife? I mean, that was absolutely.
You did say that.
Yes, you did.
I think you actually called me and said, how did you get that? I don't have an answer for you. I don't.
Yeah. No, but mention,
Danielle loved you guys too, by the way. Loved you guys.
You know, green is, again, identified with Ireland. Ireland's identified with green. And it's just become this. By the way, as we're talking, I'm looking at the New York Post and I see my good friend Vito Fasella was thinking.
He's a good friend of yours?
Very good. We were in Congress together. He's my closest friend. He was a great guy. And his grandfather was in Congress under Franklin Roosevelt. Vito is a tremendous councilman and a congressman. And I hope he comes back. He really adds so much.
He's going to run for the borough president of Staten Island.
Yeah. And that would be a great, great position for Vito. He lives and breathes Staten Island. A great guy. And I just wish
I have a friend of mine. Her name is Jen Romero. And her mom, Letitia, she was in here a couple of weeks ago. She's running. I like her a lot. She's cool. But you think he has a chance to win this? Huh?
I think so. He was extremely popular in Staten Island. And, I hope he runs. I hope he wins. And again, he's just a great guy. He's got a great, great family.
Well, he did have I don't know much about him. I'm not going to lie to you. I know he's a friend of yours, but there was a scandal he had.
Well, it was an issue, but that was resolved between him and his wife, Mary Pat, and I've been with them. And listen, no one's perfect except maybe for you.
No, I'm not perfect.
But other than that, no, listen, Vito, his record as a congressman.
Oh, so the issue was his personal life?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, that's nobody's business.
Yeah. No,
I hate that stuff. Yeah. No, I'm being serious. I hate that stuff. If he's not stealing money from the public.
No,
if he's
my God. No, nothing like that.
That's
no.
all I care about. No, what do I care who he's sleeping with? God bless him. So, you know what I'm saying?
No, he was, again, a very hardworking congressman, great guy. And, again, I would love to see Vito back in elective office. We need more guys like him.
All right. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-8, that's quite an endorsement. 1-800-848-9222. Congressman Peter King. When we get back, I've been on this guy's show a million times, him and Emma. They host the mid-morning show at Newsmax. Sean Craseman. This kid's great. And he's going to join me and Peter right after this. Talking U2 on St. Patrick's Day, the great Irishman Bono.
The heart is a
I mentioned the fact that I don't have any green clothing. Joseph Aboud, you know this, Peter, is on this station every Saturday night. He's on right before Cousin Brucey. So he listens every day. He's a big Sid fan, and Bernie. He says, Sid, green is an unlucky color in clothing. Let's not forget JFK had a green tie on November 22nd, 1963.
Wow, okay, there you go. It's wow.
Yeah, if you think about it like that, it's pretty unlucky, right?
Yes, sir, God. But you mentioned you too. My son-in-law is from Dublin, and the guy who worked, when he was growing up, the guy who worked in the post office was Bono. He worked behind the counter in the post office in Dublin.
Way.
Yeah, yeah.
That had to be like in the 1960s? Or?
Yeah, my grandson's up there a bit. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So he knew him from the post office?
Well, he just knew he was the guy. He was the guy.
My God.
I mean, he was as important as you or Bernie, but he was the guy behind the counter in the post office.
That's a big deal. Hey, Greg Kelly, 1-3 here every weekday. 1-3, Greg Kelly. And Greg, of course, is a big star on Newsmax. So is our next guest. You know, the first bunch of appearances I made on Newsmax, now I'm on every show. So are you, Peter. And I've hosted shows there. But it was always with Sean Craseman and Emma Reckenberg. Sean and Emma are great. They're on, I think, 9 to noon every day. And Sean's a good-looking kid, big kid like me, works out hard. Have you been on that show?
I think I've been on that one. I've been on quite a few. In fact, I was in Newsmax yesterday at noon, and I was at 12 noon yesterday.
Oh, you were? Right after them. Right, yeah, right.
Yeah, so I watched them as I'm leading into the 12 noon.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Sean is with us right now. I think this is one of the real young stars in America today. Sean, Sid Rosenberg, Peter King, how are you, buddy?
Hey, guys. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Good to hear from you. By the way, I heard you talking about wearing green is bad luck. I've got green socks and a green tie for the show. So I hope things go okay.
I figured you were going to do that. Or knowing you, because we are friendly, and I go to your Instagram page quite a bit, and you tend to show off the muscles when you're working out. Yeah. I thought maybe you'd be in, like, green tights at the gym today.
Yeah, that's only after the show, not during the show. I want to gain viewers, not lose them.
I got you. No, you're a great-looking guy. Hey, let's get to the big story of the day, and Peter and I have talked about it, and we'll continue to talk about it, and that is the crisis, the disaster. Use whatever adjective you want. What's going on at the border right now, which has become a huge issue for Joe Biden and crew. How do you describe what's going on at the border?
Well, there's no doubt there's a national crisis. I mean, when you have DHS Secretary Mayorkas coming out saying they haven't seen anything with the likes in 20 years, and you're seeing more crossings now of migrants than you've ever seen just in the past few weeks versus last year alone, on top of unaccompanied children being kept for more than 72 hours. You know, there was this report that was released by CBS News that was obtained by CBP that said that these kids were only able to shower once a week. Some of them had to take turns sleeping on the floor because there wasn't enough space. Some of them hadn't seen sunlight in days. It's being categorized by the White House as a humanitarian effort. There's nothing humane about that. And it's gotten to the point where now you're seeing mainstream media, they have to cover it without bias at this point, because they are finding facilities for these people. The latest now is that they're using the Dallas Convention Center to hold some 3,000 17 to 18 year old migrant teens, only boys, because there's so much overflow. And this is getting to the point where you're talking about using these buildings that are funded by American cities. And it's already happening. So where are we going to be, you know, a month from now? And it's interesting because President Biden recently gave an interview with ABC, which aired this morning, and he said, don't come. Well, that's the message that he's sending. But as far as the policies he's putting in place, it says anything but.
Again, great to be with you. To me, this immigration policy is a disaster for everyone. It's a disaster for security along the border. You talk to a Democratic congressman like Henry Cuellar, he's petrified about what's going to happen down there. You have the fact that many of these people are tested positive for COVID, but they can't be held. They're let into the country. And then you have the national security issue, where we saw Congressman Katko was down at the border the other day, and he said it's not just people from Central America, but also Iranians, people on the terror watch list are coming through. And then also just the impact this is going to have on the country, having this many thousands of people coming through. What does that do to the local communities? You have to absorb them. I mean, in my district on Long Island, when I was in Congress, Central Islip being one community, where you had many of these unaccompanied minors who were sent there, and a number of them were recruiters for MS-13. We had many, many people being killed during those years. So this is somehow they're making President Biden out to be this great humanitarian when everyone is suffering, including the kids themselves.
Yeah, you've got to. I think at this point you're gonna have to find a way to walk this back as far as saying that it's just simply a challenge, because that's just simply not true. And just like you pointed out, Congressman King, it's the local cities that are impacted. There's a lot of fear in these neighborhoods, and I've spoken with them. We'll have them on the show. I'll have a sheriff's deputy from the Texas, a border city, coming on saying we need more people down there. National Guard troops are down there. Most importantly, don't forget that FEMA is being sent down there. The Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, is going down there to help out with this. They only go out if there's an emergency. They only go out if there's a crisis, and that's what you're seeing down there.
Jimmy Haskell sends his love to you, Peter. Okay. He says you're like an uncle to him.
No, he's a great
guy.
He's a
great cop. Yeah.
Great cop, and yeah. He was, again, his family suffered greatly. He lost
two cousins.
Yeah,
9/11.
Two uncles, yeah.
Yeah,
both,
two uncles, yeah. Sean Craseman with us right now from Newsmax TV does a great job. Him and Emma love that show every weekday morning. Sean, what's the end game here then? You know, Joe Biden says, come. Then yesterday he says, don't come. And we've got thousands and thousands at the border already. So predict for me what's going to end up happening here.
Well, look, what you're going to continue to see is this effort of for the left. Of course, this is the humane way to deal with the borders. If you tell folks we're not going to deport you for 100 days, obviously they're going to come. You have video of it. As far as sealing up the borders, I don't know if he'll do that. I don't know because he's walked back. The Biden administration has walked back every Trump administration policy. And critics question, are you doing it because you think it's right, or are you doing it simply because Trump put this in place? And I don't like Trump. Let's remove anything that he's done. And you've clearly seen the shift from the Trump administration versus January 20th and beyond, and the Biden administration as far as what's happened with immigration. I think what you see continues on. I do think they'll get a better handling on it as they start to use federal resources. But as far as folks crossing the border in the migration process, they're already using these city facilities, i.e. in Dallas. It's not going to stop. It's going to continue.
Sean Craseman, Middays with Emma over at Newsmax. Let's switch the conversation to something you've been tweeting about quite a bit, incessantly, in fact, Sean. And that is Governor Cuomo. Biden came out yesterday and said, look, if he's guilty, then get rid of him, which is a pretty gutty move, huh? That's like saying if you kill him, you have to go to jail. But Andrew Cuomo. Again, what's the end game here? Does he resign? Does he get impeached? Does he go to jail? Or does, what I think is going to happen is he lives out his term and he's done with politics. That's it.
Yeah, I think the latter. I think you're right. And obviously, Peter could, you know, attest to this as well. But look, what you've got are two issues on your hands with Cuomo. The Democrats are eating their own at this point. But he's got the nursing home scandal, which is obviously being investigated by Letitia James, New York Attorney General. But then you've got seven women that have come forward with allegations of sexual harassment. Then you've got Senator Schumer, Gillibrand of New York. You've got Congress members like AOC and others. These top political leaders, if you will, on the left already saying that he needs to step down, calling for his resignation. He's got, what, 80-90% of the assembly in New York already calling for his resignation as well. But bottom line, that's all he's got is the governorship of New York. And there's a lot of talk if he is one of the most popular Democrats in our country next to what now would be Kamala Harris if she would make a run in 2024. And Cuomo would stand a chance to beat her. Again, this is what critics are saying. Now they're just going to eat their own, take Cuomo out of the game based on this. What I would say is pay attention to the what happened with a nursing home, almost 15,000 deaths, and it was covered up. And we know this by his assistant, DeRosa, who essentially said this on a call. But they're going after him with the sexual harassment claims. Finally, you have President Biden coming out in this interview and saying, look, he needs to resign and he may be prosecuted. Well, that's all fine and good. But the issue is, I thought it was innocent until proven guilty. And it seems as if Biden's saying you're guilty and proven until proven innocent. Nevertheless, he's calling for his resignation. Everyone has. Do I think this governor is going to resign? No, I don't. He said it multiple times. I think he may face impeachment, or like you said, he rides this out, you know, until his term is done. But as far as politics, I mean, unless this washes over, which I doubt the Democrats will let it go, you know, he's going to be staying there until the end of his term, and then he's done.
Yeah, I think the only way he would resign is if the Speaker of the Assembly came in with a list and said, these are the Democrats who want to vote to impeach you. We have the votes to impeach you. And then the Majority Leader of the State Senate comes in and says, these are the votes to remove you from office. At that stage, rather than go through the whole hearing, I doubt he would call their bluff at that stage. He may let the impeachment vote go through in the Assembly, but rather than have a trial in the Senate, I think at that stage he may resign. But again, he's a tough guy. He's going to hang in as long as he can. And
Peter, don't forget his judges, his appointed judges. He's got those in his pocket too, and people don't sleep on that. I mean, he's, you know, they can make a difference in this whole thing as well.
I know you got to run onto the TV. Sean, you and Emma are both great. You know, I'm a big fan of yours and a good friend of yours. So thank you for hopping on today. Thanks. Happy St. Patrick's Day, buddy.
Hey, you guys drink some green beer for me. Have a good day. Enjoy.
Okay. Sean Craseman. And he's on Newsmax every morning at 9 alongside Emma.
Sean, do I have 1 minute here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just got a text from Father Jenkins, who's the president of the University of Notre Dame.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Mainly they'll tell me, a good friend of mine, actually, about getting more.
Did your daughter go to Notre Dame?
Yeah, she went to law school. I went there. In fact, she went to law school with Amy Coney Barrett.
She did.
And my daughter says one of them was a genius.
One of them. That's funny. But you went to Notre Dame, too?
Yeah, law school at Notre Dame, yeah.
Well, with Regis? Oh, Regis was there before you.
About 20 years before me,
right.
15 years before me.
Right.
Anyway, not to get more, but a good friend of mine, Jack Sander, went to Notre Dame Law School. He was a great guy. He became head of the Chicago Merc. He was a Golden Globes champion. He overcame all sorts of obstacles, and he died last week from COVID. And Father Jenkins said the mass for him yesterday and just asked everyone to say a prayer for Jack. Great guy, and he wouldn't want us feeling sorry for him. He's the toughest guy I ever met in my life. And anyway, so go Irish for Jack Sander.
All right. Let's go to break with that. Go Irish for Jack Sander. We have a really special guest coming up early in the 9 o'clock hour. Thanks to Congressman Peter King. Spend your St. Patrick's Day with us. God rest in peace, Jack. Here we go. Cranberries. Now we're talking St. Patrick's Day. No Bernie today, but the esteemed, the great, my man, former Congressman Peter King, sitting to my left. Had a great hour already together, and really looking forward to talking to Ahern coming up next hour.
Yeah, the former Irish Prime Minister, he's the guy who presided, not the guy, he's the leader who presided over the Good Friday Agreement, which, again, he negotiated with Bill Clinton and Tony Blair and all the different elements in Ireland, North and South, to bring peace after 800 years of fighting.
800 years. Hey, let's grab a call here quickly, Peter. Carol is in White Plains this morning. She's online, too. Good morning, Carol.
Oh, good morning. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Gentlemen. You know, Sid, you can never retire. You're so good.
Oh, listen, thank
this
you.
This is the story.
Thank you.
Just for orientation, I grew up in Yonkers in the 60s, and it was a really rough neighborhood. We had three bars and a one-and-a-half block radius, soaked in drink. So when I was younger, I didn't want to have anything to do with being Irish. I didn't want to know nothing, blah, blah, blah. It wasn't until I saw a movie called The Wind Beneath the Barley. It's with Cillian Murphy.
That's a great movie.
How
great
the English
movie, yeah.
Really tortured us to death, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So then my consciousness was raised. I researched, I read, I talked to my dad a little bit more, and then I understood why, you know, how strong the Irish were, what they went through. I had a great-grandfather who was shipped off as indentured servant to Australia, but then he came back. He was alone. He came back to Ireland to pick up his wife, and then they came here.
Wow.
So there was a lot of pain, you know, in my life because, like I said, my whole neighborhood, Bernie knows it. I know he drew a cab through.
Well, Peter, you know. Too. I mean, Peter.
I grew up in Sunnyside, Queens. In fact, right next door to my apartment house was the Celtic Bar. And a block from there was Lynch's funeral home. So this was one, everything that the Irish, you know,
yeah.
the bar, the funeral home.
And you know what the movie she's talking about, you know that.
Oh, yeah, it was a brutal movie. It showed, again, how the terrible mistreatment of the Irish by the British. Now, we don't like to talk about it. We're not perpetual victims or the fact is it was horrible. And this was going on into the 70s, the 80s, the 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, there were no jury trials allowed. If you're Irish Catholic in the North, you were charged with, they would just charge there anyone who was a political opponent for being a terrorist. They had Bobby Sands, and nine others actually starved themselves to death on hunger strikes.
Yep, yep.
And I knew Bobby Sands' family very well. I stayed with them over in Belfast. Now, these were terrible times, and it wasn't reported over here. And that's why it was really the Irish-American community which did so much to generate attention here. And Bill Clinton, I'm a Republican. I give Bill Clinton credit. He gave a visa to Gerry Adams over the objections of the British, over the objections of his own State Department.
Yeah.
And then Bertie Ahern became the Prime Minister. Tony Blair became the Prime Minister, and history was made. But again, I'm not, you know, right now, as far as I'm concerned, that's in the past.
Yep.
But the Irish do have a very tough legacy when it comes to British oppression.
And the former Prime Minister, Bertie Ahern, will join us, thanks to Peter, coming up in about 7 minutes. By the way, another great Irish movie, State of Grace. Sean Penn, Ed Harris, Gary Oldman. It's about the Westies taking on the Italian mob. It is a great movie. You'd love it. State of Grace.
No, I know it. In the Westies, that was a bad moment for the Irish, but it was, again, that's part, you know, we don't hide from that. And we didn't object to the fact that the FBI was profiling Irish guys to find the Westies.
That's right.
Yeah. You're not going to find them in Little Italy. You're going to find them, you're gonna find them in Irish bars.
Former Prime Minister Bertie Ahern with Peter King and Sid coming up next.
When on the road to sweet Athayaru, haru. When on the road to sweet Athayaru, haru. When go on the road to sweet Athay, a stick in my hand and a drop in me eye. A doleful damsel I had cried.
You know, I've forgotten I had books very funny and bright. Lisa Lampanelli. I love Lisa. For today, and that was before I found out about this big St. Patrick's Day celebration. So Lisa just called in. Was she mad, John? Did she? All right, good. Tell her to call in tomorrow. Tomorrow we've got Bill O'Reilly and a few other folks. But we are celebrating St. Patrick's Day here today. We've had a great show already. Bill Donahue was terrific. Tommy Smith was great. Sean Craseman. And, of course, I'm joined by the great Congressman Peter King. And we are efforting the former Prime Minister. Peter is on the phone right now. So let me grab a phone call while Peter makes a call to try to get Bertie Ahern on the show. Joe is in New York City talking about the surge of migrants. On line 4. Good morning, Joe.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm sorry. Happy,
St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day to all Irish people and Jewish people too, and Americans.
There you
Americans,
go. Well Americans. Said. No, you're all over it.
Now, regarding what's happening on the border, I think it's fixed because according to international refugee laws, the first country of arrival, that's where the government there should take up the situation, application for refugee status, etc. Now, Trump made a deal with the Mexican leader regarding that issue, whereby he was going to sanction Mexico if Mexico didn't agree to follow the international laws. And hence accept those refugees, turn them back, you know, take a few, up for consideration because
right.
99% of them are not refugees. They're, of course, for labor,
right.
For jobs and all that. And the worst problem is that each one of them it will equal to four others because they will be bringing in their brothers,
of course,
etc. And 50 million of people, voters.
I get it. You're upset. All good points. I just have no patience. It's just me. I'm sorry. I have no patience. I got it. It's a lot of votes for the Democrats, and they're going to bring six people with them, and it's a disaster. We got it. I don't think anybody here is defending what's going on at the border or is happy with what's going on at the border. We've been saying for weeks, using all kinds of terrible adjectives while the White House and the media made it sound like, it's a little problem. No, it's not a little problem. It's a disaster.
Yeah, while they put travel restrictions on Americans
right.
and states.
How does that make sense,
right?
Me?
Yeah, oh, come, on,
tell
come
me.
On. Come over the border. Don't worry about it. But you who live in New York or
right.
wherever it may be, you can't travel outside the state.
Not like that. I can't go to a Brooklyn Nets game against the Knicks without getting 16 COVID shots. These bastards are walking around across. No one has any idea whether they're sick or not.
Yeah, no, it's and that's another problem. I mean, it's getting bad. It's getting hairy. And it's, I guess, a step in the right direction that they are calling it a catastrophe, which it
no,
or a crisis.
No, they're not. The White House is.
Okay, yes, a crisis.
We are.
But at least
right.
they're acknowledging it. They,
yeah.
I just feel like they've been ignoring it for the past couple weeks.
Oh, they have been. So the guest list today on this station, on this St. Patrick's Day, Cardinal Dolan, Ray Kelly, Dermot Shea, he's the head of the cops. He's a wimp. I can't stand Dermot Shea. But he's Irish and he's a cop. Terrence Monaghan, he used to be the top cop, but he's gone now, right? Did it Roddy Harrison replace him?
He was the
him?
Head of the...
detectives.
Yeah, detectives.
But he's out.
Yeah, he is out. He retired. After...
Rodney Harrison replaced him.
Yeah, Rodney Harrison
yeah,
did.
Yeah, there you go. I'm all over this stuff. It's like the Mets. Greg Kelly, of course, he's on every day. Bill O'Reilly, every day. And Tommy Smith was already on, and some other folks, I don't know. It's a big day. It's a very, very big day.
Plus, I just talked to Justin Ellick, one of our other board operators and producers here, that down the hall from us right now is a whole musical festival going on.
You got to see this. When we used to do our shows from Madison Square Garden, we had something called Stage 17, because we were on the 17th floor of that building, 17 floors above Madison Square Garden where the Rangers and Knicks play. And we had unbelievable acts. It was a small studio. It was beautiful, but very small. But everybody from Bruno Mars to Taylor Swift, they'd walk around the studio like it was no big deal. Now we've got something called Studio 49, because we're on 49th Street. This thing is twice as big as the old one. It is really nice. And today is the first time, since I've been here since last July with you, Matt, that it's done. The stage is set. The carpet has been vacuumed. They have a whole spread of food. It looks like you're going to a Sweet 16. It's unbelievable.
It looks like a party, absolutely.
Yes.
And I believe, do not quote me, listeners, do not quote me, but I believe we should be on YouTube live.
Oh, is that right?
At some point today, but don't quote me. I know they were working on that, so they
can
see some
of the acts.
Well,
who's coming to perform? Are you two coming or somebody
else? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Juliet talked earlier, right, that Bono just showed up randomly somewhere.
Bruce does stuff like that.
So maybe, who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe
what's that bar down in the village? Come on, it's a really popular old rock and roll bar. Guys would just show the Bitter End.
Okay.
You ever go there?
I've never been there.
Yeah. They would just show up there. And certainly if you're in Asbury Park or any of those parts on the Jersey Shore, Bruce will walk in, Stevie Van Zandt will walk in, any one of those folks.
Yeah, it's exciting, yeah.
Well, Peter, what's going on here? Give me the latest with Birdie.
We're still trying to track him down. He's in Dublin, and right now hasn't made the connection. So he was looking forward to being on. Trying to work on it.
Well, if he doesn't come on with us this morning, you'll get him on, I guess, later.
We'll get him one way or the other, yeah.
Yeah.
Get him, yeah.
Maybe he's out right now enjoying. What time? You said it's 2 o'clock there, right?
Yeah, I think they're 5 hours ahead of us now, yeah. So it's either 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock.
Well, 6 hours, so far, yeah. 3 o'clock. Yeah.
See, the 5 hours, right? The 5 hours.
Oh, 6 hours. Yeah. Well, they're not doing anything anyway. Tommy Smith told us earlier.
Yeah.
It's all shut down.
Yeah. Really
completely
is.
Locked down.
Which is really unusual for Ireland. I mean, it's again, it's been shut down now really for a year. It was last March. The Irish Prime Minister then, Leo Varadkar, was in Washington. He had to fly back to Ireland. That was in March.
Wow.
March 9th or 10th, and he had to rush back. Yeah.
You know, you mentioned Vito Pacella as a guy that is seriously considering running for Brooklyn Borough President of Staten Island, and you like him, so I like
right.
him. Whatever you like, I like. But I know you like Lee Zeldin, and there's a lot of talk that Andrew Cuomo, whether he's impeached, goes to jail, I don't think either one of those things happen, it's my opinion. But he certainly is never going to run again. He's done. And if he is impeached, there are folks who would like to see Lee Zeldin be that guy. What about the prospects of Lee Zeldin being governor of this state?
Lee would be an outstanding candidate. He'd be a very good governor. He's, again, a very talented guy. He's a major in the Army Reserves. He served time in combat zones. He's done a great job in Congress. He took a seat on Long Island back from a Democrat. Democrats spent a fortune, I don't know, $5, $6, $7 million against him in the last election, and he actually increased his majority. Now, he'd be an excellent, excellent governor. And again, he has a great record. He's hardworking, a wonderful family. Great wife, twin daughters.
Yeah, beautiful kids, yeah.
A really, really solid guy.
His campaign commercials were cute. It was the family, it was the daughters. That was great.
Right. No, he was good. I think he'd be an excellent candidate.
He's a big Met fan like you.
He's a Met fan, and he's the Mets guy. I tell you, the Mets got to make it.
It's going to be a big year. I'm telling you, it's going to be a big year.
I think so. Again, they're putting together a good team. Lindor's going to be terrific. And with Syndergaard, again, if he's back by May or June.
He needs to be back. Because if Carrasco's out, then the only spot I'm a little worried, to be honest, Peter, is that rotation. After DeGrom, Stroman, Tijon Walker, a little nervous.
Peterson, yeah. I mean, they
Peterson,
are.
Peterson, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, DeGrom is DeGrom. And then when you get to the others, it's uncertain.
Right.
They could all have good years. It can happen. But, if Syndergaard is on, he's almost unhittable.
He's really great. He's great.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've only been out for a couple of months after this legendary four-decade career.
Right.
You're on TV all the time. You're on radio all the time. I'm sure these other politicians reach out to you for advice because you're great. Do you miss it yet, or you're not far enough away from it yet to really miss it?
Yeah, well, first of all, Andrew Garbarino is my successor. He's doing an outstanding job. We talk all the time. I do miss it, but it's interesting. In many ways, you can almost say I left a year ago because of the pandemic. We were hardly ever in Washington anymore.
Right.
We were down there maybe a few days a month. When you're down there, it's like being in a tomb. There's no staff people. It was empty, and you went over to vote. It used to be when you went over to vote, the vote would take maybe 15 minutes to a half hour. Then you have two or three more votes for 5 minutes apiece. So you'd be over there for an hour and a half, and all the talking, camaraderie, that's where you pick things up. That's where you made deals. That's where you got things done. Now, there was no contact. I get down there, it was like, being the unknown soldier. You didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
It was, you never saw anybody, and they did. They chased you out of the hall. You say you're spreading the virus. And so it was, so really for the last year, I've been away from the Congress that I thought I knew.
Right. That's fair.
Yeah.
Now, when you look back at your career, all the stuff you did for Long Islanders, amazing, Homeland Security. For me, and I mentioned this when you first came on with me over 90 minutes ago, I go back to what you've done for folks who got sick after 9/11. And you and John Stewart and others that went to the Hill and made sure that for the next 70 years, there is money for these people. Do you look at that as maybe the proudest moment of your career?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, because these people were suffering, and it was horrible. And what bothered me the most was the opposition we had. It took us 10 years before we finally got it all done, and that's something caused some permanent rift between me and other guys from other parts of the country. Whenever they have a disaster, we vote the money right away. On this one, they thought these guys were faking it. They thought it was shady lawyers. It was guys and union guys who were making believe they were really sick. It was horrible.
Yeah,
and yet so we had actually bring people around who were dying in front of them to show, again, like Detective Alvarez.
It was terrible. Oh.
You know, I had been...
I think he died like days after he was on the Hill,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah, he did. And what happened really with him, not what happened, but I mean, he was down in February of that year and he still looked in good shape. When he came back in June and there was a witness room before the hearing, I walked back. I didn't even recognize him.
I know.
That's how much he
lost like 50 pounds.
Oh, my God. He looked terrible.
I know. Yeah, it was terrible.
Yet, he came back to testify. So that was, again, we did it for the first time in 2010. Then we had to renew it in 2015. Then again in 2019. And it was really a, again, I feel very proud of that. Yeah. Also, getting the money, the Homeland Security funding for New York after 9/11.
Huge.
Again, you had all these other states trying to grab on the money. I mean, no one's going to attack...
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati or North Dakota or whatever.
Right,
and,
right.
And yet they wanted to get the most up-to-date fire equipment and all this. And so we had to fight for the money there. And then also after Sandy. I mean...
That's true.
I mean, when we had Katrina, we voted $65 billion within 5 days. The most they offered us, we had more damage than Katrina, was $29
billion. Is that right?
Yes.
Like one-third?
So we had to fight and fight and fight, and we finally got it done, and we got the money. But it was,
wow.
Again, that was a tough fight. I mean, I go home, and I'd see, I mean, homes like a mess of people in Long Beach.
Destroyed.
And they were underwater. It was terrible.
Destroyed.
And then also I was involved with the Irish peace process. That was a tough one. I remember being on the – that went on for quite a few years. And then I remember being on the White House – on the phone with the White House. Now, again, now you being a Jewish guy, you may not understand all these feasts.
Right.
This was supposed to be the Holy Thursday Agreement. But the Irish.
That's the day before Good Friday.
Right. Well, the Irish never get it done in time. So it over.
Listen, 45 seconds to go. What a brilliant career. Grand Marshal, all day today we celebrate St. Patrick's Day, and you're the face of it. Couldn't find a better guy than you. What is your message to the morning show audience on this St. Patrick's Day?
First of all, as Irish Americans, and no matter what our ethnic group is, be happy that we live in the greatest country in the world. Nothing we're doing here we could have done in the a country of our ancestors. I'm proud of the contributions Irish Americans have made, but all of us should stand together, look at the similarities we have, not the differences, and I have no patience at all for the people who want to cancel the culture of the United States and somehow say we have to be, that we have a certain privilege, and we have to be ashamed of what we've done. We should all be proud of what we've done. That's everyone of every race, creed, nationality, you name it, ethnic origin. We stand together. But today's the day we celebrate the Irish. John Kasmatidis will be here next week with Greek Independence Day. And this Friday also is St. Joseph Day, honoring the Italian Americans. They have the Columbus Day Parade, and you were Grand Marshal of the Israeli Parade several years ago. So, I mean, these are, again, it shows what we are as New York. We're a great stained glass window, a mosaic of a beauty of different cultures, religions, and national origin.
Couldn't say it any better, right? You could not say that any better. The great Congressman Peter King, his lovely wife, Rosemary, thank you for coming in this morning. You'll be back this afternoon.
Back this afternoon.
Cardinal Dolan, a host of others. You were great with me. Thank you.
Well, thank you, sir. It was a great honor. And tell Bernie I'm still waiting for that beer in Shines.
He always talks about that, Shines with Peter King. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Still more to do, Bernie and Sid, on the St. Patrick's Day in New York City. Amazing album. But I often tell you folks, and what I enjoyed, one of the great rockumentaries of all time, U2 Rattle and Hum, Bono and the group, they walk into a church in Harlem, right here in Harlem, and they start singing this song, and the choir behind them breaks into the chorus. It sends chills down your spine. I still haven't found what I'm looking for, U2. Here at WABC, hosting Mornings with Bernie. Bernie's off today. He's been off all week, but I think we put on some really good shows. We got two more great ones coming your way. Matt Meany's been tremendous. John O'Halloran, he's been great. Deb Valentine. What's his kid's name again who's trying out for the board up? I like him. Kevin?
Kevin.
Is he Irish?
Kevin, you Irish?
Kevin's an Irish name.
Half Irish.
Half Irish and half what?
Italian.
Half Italian. Italian. There you go.
Half Irish, half Italians in here.
Mike Sullivan is listening right now. He's all Irish. He owns Brennan and Carr, of course. The best roast beef in the world, Nostrand Avenue, Avenue U in Brooklyn. And he is speaking on behalf of the Irish in Marine Park, Brooklyn, saying he loves today's show. He wants to thank us for honoring, quote, his people, Mike Sullivan. We do celebrate St. Patrick's Day today with great guest interviews and music. While you're enjoying this special day with us, please go to WABCRadio.com and click on the St. Patrick's Day page to donate to the FBI. This is important. It's the FBI Agents Association and the Memorial College Fund. The FBIAA provides over 30 students, on average, 75% of tuition, housing, and a computer at a college of their choice. In total, over 9 million in scholarships have been provided to the children and spouses of agents who have tragically died while being actively in duty. Donations go directly to the families of these agents, so please help today. Check it out again at WABCRadio.com. And I couldn't think of a better way to celebrate St. Patrick's Day than helping these people out, right? Here is Vic in Queens on line two. Good morning, Vic.
Hey, Sid, it's Victor. I just wanted to say thank you. It's actually my one-year anniversary listening to you guys.
Is that right?
I'm 25 years old. Yeah, I'm 25. My generation doesn't really listen to, like, talk radio and stuff. But I found you guys by accident on the radio on my way to work during the pandemic. And ever since, my commute has been so much easier. I love you guys. Sid, you're such an awesome person. And I really wish you guys the best. Thank you so much for making my commute so much easier. I really mean it.
Well, thank you, Vic. That's a beautiful phone call. And, you know, I love hearing the 25-year-olds, man. We have meetings every day, and I'm always bitching. We need younger people listening to this station. No, not that, listen, whether you're 75 or 25, one is one. So not one is more important than the other. Don't get me wrong. Because now you start calling, oh, Sid doesn't care about us. No, no. You're every bit as important. But it would be nice if we had more young listeners with our audience. So that what that means, although radio lesson here, is money. And I know you folks are not going to believe this, but we're here to make money. Shh. We're not just here to entertain you, provoke you, compel you. We're here to make money. So we want to broaden our audience and to hear a guy, 25-year-old, that enjoys the show. That's, I mean, Chaos, you're like 30, right? You're a young guy, too. You're older, 35? Oh, I didn't realize you were that old. Okay. All right, I forget about you. But Meany's only 32, right?
Yeah, something like that. But, yeah, no, you're right. We got to pay it forward. We got to, you know, bridge the generation gap or whatever it may be. And, you know, a younger generation, believe it or not, they do some of them still do listen to talk radio.
Oh, they do, and they care, and they know.
Yep.
My daughter, for example, even though we argue every night, and I don't agree with anything she believes. I don't know what happened to her. I don't. I love my daughter Ava, but she's been taken over by some aliens. I may never get it back. But she cares, at least, and she knows what's going on. John O'Halloran, you're a young guy, just graduated Xavier in Cincinnati, and you care about all this stuff.
Yeah, I'm 23. I care
23. Maybe that's why you never get laid. I don't know. Just saying. Maybe you should care less.
Maybe, yeah. Now that you mention it, maybe I should.
Well, I can tell you from experience, politics, when you, and it's crazy how many times that I've gone on dates and that the politics come up and it's
dates
like,
over.
Yeah, it's the one thing I try to avoid talking, and I never bring it up.
No, it's over.
But you find somebody who
It's worse than a fart at the dinner table.
Well,
it's over.
But if you find somebody who who's rational and has a level head, and,
there's no such thing. It's only me. That's it.
Okay,
that's it. Nobody else is rational. Everybody's crazy. No matter what side you're on, they're all insane. Crazy.
My girlfriend's to the left of us. We have some conversations.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, how do you do that?
It's difficult sometimes.
You know, it's funny, inspired by what you just said, John. When I first met Danielle, my wife, she was still is a diehard Yankee fan. And I'm a diehard Met fan. And my, like, idiot cousins and friends would go, how could you be with a Yankee fan? And my answer was always the same. Have you seen her ass? Yeah. Sunday, Bloody Sunday on St. Patrick's Day. Bono, take it away. Checks in Instagram at Sid Rosenberg. He said, love the call, not feeling well. I used to hate when my dad put on WABC. I went nuts. Now in my 30s, I love it, especially you. Thank you for that, Mimi. Here is Z in New Jersey on line 3. Good morning, Z.
Good morning, Sid. First of all, I wanted to say I love your show, and I'm going to start my morning every single morning.
Thank you very
much.
And
the reason why I called in is because I heard that a 25-year-old called. I want you to know that I'm 24, and I have plenty of friends that are younger than me, like 19, 20, 21. They all listen to you. So all the head honchos in WABC, if you give Sid any problems about not having young listeners, there's plenty of young listeners out there that are big fans.
There you go, Z. Thank you for that. Well, this is great.
One more question, Sid?
Yes, go ahead, sure.
Yeah, I know it's a weird question to ask. I just have seen pictures of you. I have a curiosity. How big are your arms? How many inches?
18? 19?
Wow. Okay, yeah. Now I'm definitely going to listen to you every morning.
You know what I want to do? I actually want to do a workout day. Have one listener a week come to the gym with me, New York Sports Club or Equinox, and spend the day with me working out. I think it'll be fun. So, Z, thank you for that. Charlie is in Hell's Kitchen talking about the movie State of Grace. Great Irish movie.
Yeah, no, I just want to say that, yeah. Sid, I totally agree with you about that, but as far as listener demographics, although one listener may not be more important than another, I think it's really important that WABC reach out to the young people and have young listeners, because you guys have to undo the brainwashing that's being done to them in schools, and we have to inoculate the young people with confidence.
Hey, listen, it's hard. I mean, Charlie, I got to tell you, it's hard. I've got two kids, you know, and I'm not one of these fathers who disappears and goes to play golf for the weekend, who comes home at 10 o'clock at night, who I'm there. I'm taking my kids to the doctor, to Little League, I eat dinner with them every night. I'm a very active dad. And I basically lost them both. Now, Gabe is not as bad, and Ava's starting to come back some. But I got to tell you, it's tough. These schools, they have really, really gone nuts, and they are introducing our children to some really insane ideologies, and it's not as easy as you think. And again, I'm a very active dad, but it's hard to undo that work, which they put on every day. Rob is on Long Island. He's on line 4. Good morning, Rob. How are you, pal?
What's up, Sidney? What's going on? Enough with the politics. We're going old school right here.
I like that.
You're a Brooklyn guy, right?
I am a Brooklyn guy.
Right, that show?
Yes.
He started on YouTube a documentary about 86th Street. You got to ask your boy, how come he never pulled the trigger and finished it?
Wait, he started a documentary. Wait, he started the documentary about 86th Street and he never finished it?
Well, there's a clip on YouTube, and actually it's the guy that was on a couple of weeks ago, the guy who was in Goodfellas.
Oh, Joe D'Onofrio, yeah.
Look, yeah, if you go to YouTube and you look up 86th Street documentary, you see it's like maybe a 4 or 5 minute little thing.
And that's it?
And they never made it.
Oh, that's bad. Now, where did you grow up, Rob? I'm curious.
I grew up in Bensonhurst East, Ozone Park.
Oh, okay. I actually used to date a girl, thank you for the call, by Bay Parkway and like 61st. Vinny's Hairstylist. 2 blocks away from the Acura dealership in the bowling alley. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. Peter King has called me like 10 times. Let's take a break. Let me take Peter's phone call, and then we'll get the band in here and have some fun. St. Patrick's Day with WABC. This is Unforgettable Fire.
Welcome back.
Folks, the WABC radio question of the day. Moderna has begun a trial of its COVID-19 vaccine. Yes, Moderna has begun its trial of the COVID-19 vaccine on children ages 6 months to 12 years old. Is that too young? Your poll choices are absolutely. or B, no, children need to be vaccinated to Moderna, 6 months to 12 years old. Al is in College Point. Al's on line three this morning. Good morning, Al.
Good morning, Barry. Sid, it's the greatest radio program ever. I think that if you let your daughter work retail, and I insisted my daughter go to work right. as soon as she was able at 16,
yeah.
they work retail and they learn about the people, and that'll flip her back to the right side of the
yeah. yeah, no, she's actually she's going to intern, I think, for Joe Tacopina, and then she's going to be a CIT this summer at a nice camp in Pennsylvania. So there'll be no retail in Ava's future. Sorry. But I hear your point. It's a good way to get out there and meet the people.
Gotcha.
Thank you, Al. Thank you for the phone call. Here is Mike, Rockland County, line two. Good morning, Michael.
Yeah, hi. I hear you complaining about the schools that that your children getting brainwashed.
That's right.
But it's your own doing. Nobody forced you to send them to that school.
Well, where are you going to send them? I live in a neighborhood where there's a public school for that neighborhood. What are you talking about? My son, I spent $150,000 a year to go to private school. They're even worse.
They're worse?
Worse.
Everybody has a choice.
No, there's no choice. No, you're in New York. You're effed, Mike. You know what that means? Yes, that's right. No matter where you are in New York, public, private, they don't accept Columbus Day. They don't talk about 9/11 or the Holocaust. They treat BLM like it's some peaceful, beautiful movement. They talk about white supremacists like there's more than 10 in the whole country. So I'm not sure what city or state you live in or where your kids go to school, but wake up!
Yeah, wake up. To your point, Sid, talking about schools, I don't know if you saw this story, but Columbia University is having...
Oh, the worst.
And you want to talk about segregation? This
worst.
Is it. They're having seven different ceremonies for... different races.
Disgusting.
People, it's an Asian American ceremony, a black African American ceremony.
I live 11 blocks from Columbia. My building, meaning to your point, is all Columbia students. They look at me if I'm not wearing a mask. They're kids. They're kids. If I'm not wearing a mask, Trump was up against Biden and I'd walk around yelling for Trump. They wanted to kill me. That school, that Columbia, is as bad as any school in the country.
I read that story last night, and I said to myself, wait a second. This just sounds like segregation.
Yeah. Yeah.
The hypocrisy of it is crazy, that they would have separate, you know, graduation ceremonies.
Yeah.
Everyone goes to that school. They should all graduate together.
Of course.
It's just ludicrous.
Of course. But that is the future of this country.
Yeah.
That's how they make up for some of the shortcomings. Well, if you don't like that, we'll do it differently. Well, if you don't like transgenders playing against, you know, females, maybe we'll have just a transgender league. Now, I could live with that. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
In that case, quote unquote, segregation makes sense. But what you're talking about is just gross. It's Columbia and a lot of schools.
Yeah, and what makes – I mean, I don't understand. You go there to get an education. I don't understand what the different – do they get different educations? Is that why they're getting a different graduation ceremony? I don't understand it.
That's a rough hood, bro. I got to tell you. Not because, crime too. I got news for you. Then that young girl last year went to Columbia, went to buy some weed in Morningside Park and got stabbed like 20 times.
Tessa Majors, yes.
There you go.
And speaking of crime, de Blasio is, which I think is okay. He's trying to work on, cleaning up, I guess, so to speak, the sex workers, people, you know, the sex workers and try to somehow, you know, make that profitable. I don't know. But that's another thing that's happening in this progressive city we call New York.
All right. We're going to break one more time. The lovely Margot Katsimatidis just stopped by. She's dancing. She's reveling. She's celebrating. John and Margot leading this big party today. And again, stage 49, which someday you guys will see. We're going to have events. We're going to invite the public to these events. And you're going to see just how gorgeous this stage is. Great job by Dan Herschel and the whole crew. So we'll come back and wrap things up on this great St. Patrick's Day edition of Bernie and Sid right after this.
Time ago, way back.
All right, we're wrapping things up on this St. Patrick's Day edition of the Bernie and Sid in the Morning Show. Signs, Bernie, Sid with you the rest of the week. And what a great show today. What a great day. Great promotion of today's New York Post. The man responsible for it, of course, is the owner. He's also on 5 o'clock every weekday and 8:30 on Sundays, John Katsimatidis. John, what a party you put together today.
Well, it's a wonderful party. We honor all our Irish friends, and it's a beautiful day.
I love all these days that you put together with the cops, African-American women,
St. Patrick's Day. I get a kick out of these days.
Somebody has to make a difference in this city, and I want WABC to make the difference. And thank you, Sid, for helping make the difference. You were there for lighting the menorah. You were there for feeding the hungry at Thanksgiving.
That's true, yes.
And we're trying to make a difference, and I think that's what it's all about.
Well, I think to your credit, when you come together on holidays like this, right, and Peter made a joke, there's on the phone right now, and a Jewish guy's sitting next to me. That's exactly what you're talking about.
Yep, I heard that.
Wasn't that brilliant, though?
That was brilliant, and I tell you, you know, one thing about the Irish, they are witty.
They are.
Have you found that? They are witty. Now, the witty. One thing I'm trying to establish, Governor Patterson claims he's 46% Irish.
No, he's not.
Well, that's what he claims.
Is that what he claims?
That we're going to take a DNA test.
Can we do it live in stage?
Absolutely. 49?
Everybody claims on certain days there's something or another. So I don't even know what I – do you know what you are exactly?
I am 26% Italian.
Oh.
46% Macedonian Greek.
Okay.
And 6% Jewish.
Is that right? 6% Jewish.
Yeah. And everything else is whatever.
Everything else is great. So next week are we going to do a Greek –
Well, on the next week, on the 25th, it's the 200-year anniversary where the Greeks liberated themselves from the Ottoman Empire.
Is that right?
200 years.
Wow. We should do something next week.
We're going to do something special for that.
Okay. Well, it's great to see you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for
thank
such
you
a great,
for the great
day.
Job.
Oh,
you're
you, you're the you're
and
great.
Bringing New Yorkers together. That's the important thing.
Thank you. The great John Catsimatidis, his lovely wife Margot, all dressed in green. We're going to party the rest of the day here on WABC. Stay with us. Great programming all day. Great guests all day. Cardinal Dolan, more of Peter King, John Catsimatidis. I will talk to you tomorrow morning at 5:15 with Frank and Juliet, and 6:30 right here on the Bernie and Sid Show. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Erin Go Bragh.